build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried.
This is the Quality News Network. The Army has extended the combat tours for about 4,000 soldiers. They were scheduled to return to their home base in Germany in early January, but have now been told they won't return until at least late February. They're operating in the Anbar province, one of the most violent areas of the country. There are now 142,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. About 120,000 of them are Army soldiers. In Washington today, several retired military officers criticized Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as being incompetent and called for him to be replaced. They accused him of sending U.S. troops without the proper equipment and hiding facts from the public. Also in Washington, congressional Democrats are calling for a new direction in the war on terrorism. That's after the revelation of parts of the National Intelligence Estimate over the weekend. In Basra today, British troops reportedly killed a top al-Qaeda leader who had escaped from a U.S. prison in Afghanistan last year. He was shot to death in an early morning raid in Iraq's second largest city. Despite an appeal by Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki for peace during Ramadan, the violence continues. Dozens of Iraqis were killed over the weekend, as well as two U.S. Marines who died in the Anbar province. That raises the number of U.S. military deaths in Iraq to more than 2,700. In Baghdad today, the new chief judge in Saddam Hussein's genocide trial threw the former Iraqi president out of court. His defense lawyers were already boycotting the court proceedings. In the Palestinian territories, talks scheduled for today between rivals Hamas and Fatah have been called off. Fatah head Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas planned to meet with Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas, but the trip has been postponed and no new date has been set. In San Diego today, three Camp Pendleton Marines were told they'll face court-martial on murder charges in connection with the death of an Iraqi man. However, they do not face the death penalty. In the Midwest and South, 12 people were killed in weekend storms. Kentucky was the worst hit by flooding from overflowing rivers and creeks after 5 to 10 inches of rain fell. You're listening to the Quality News Network. A look at science and business is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
A New York judge has sanctioned a class action lawsuit by tens of millions of light cigarette smokers. It could cost the tobacco companies as much as $200 billion. Utah health officials say they found a second bag of spinach contaminated with the E. coli bacteria. 173 people have been sickened so far. Two Hewlett-Packard executives have been subpoenaed in the media leak scandal. They'll testify on Thursday before the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee. Sales of existing homes have fallen for the fifth month in a row. The National Association of Realtors reports that the rate dropped by half a percentage point. That was in August. Also last month, the median price for an existing home fell to $225,000. China's largest bank, the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, will introduce its initial public offering next month. It'll be the biggest IPO in history. Head of the Nissan Renault will meet with the CEO of General Motors in Paris this week. They'll reportedly continue talks on a possible three-way alliance. Light sweet crude settled at $61.45 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow up 68 points, NASDAQ up 30, the S&P 500 up 12. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
With Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, welcome to this Monday night edition. Well, Monday after. This Monday edition. Oh, God, there's places on the planet where it's already Tuesday. This week beginning edition of Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid, and global broadcasting can be just a little bit confusing for bears of very small mind like myself. It is about 6.5 minutes after the hour. I'm tickled to death to be back with you. We did get to be on the air some on Saturday. I was thrilled to death to, well, you know, there were a couple of thousand people sitting in the Charleston Civic Center, who heard West Virginia Democratic Party Chairman Nick Casey announce that the Jefferson Jackson Day festivities were being broadcast globally by the Head On Radio Network, and you know that's the I'll be honest, that's the kind of awareness that we have to build. It's the kind of awareness that we build when you and your kindness tell your neighbors, your friends, where you're sharing a little bit of your time in trying to you know, come up with an idea here, an idea there, or maybe just even embolden, I'm told that that is an old Serbian word, embolden ourselves enough to save this nation from the monsters who have it in their grips. That's how we're going to grow this. And it was exciting to see a lot of people committed to change. I talked to a lot of folks Saturday, you know, just, well, what you might consider rank and file folks. And, you know, they don't view it. They don't view the American political process like Republicans do. They don't view it as being, you know, some sort of a football game. Oh, we're going to win. They see victory in November as being something that is absolutely and utterly vital to the salvation of this republic, this union. Ever notice? When was the last time you heard George Bush refer to the United States as the Union? Doesn't even like for the word to come out of his mouth, does he? But that was our Saturday. And I hope you enjoyed the broadcast as well. If you haven't heard it, feel free to go back. You might want to hear Barack Obama's remarks. You might agree or disagree with what he said. Personally, I got to tell you, my skin crawls every time I hear the words clean coal technology. Because there's no such thing. There just isn't. It's that simple. But, you know, his description of his middle-class roots, going back to grandparents in Kansas, are stories that a lot of us can identify with. You know, my grandmother and my grandfather were born in 1894, and so I was fortunate enough to grow up hearing stories of a very, very different America. I heard from people who were affected by by technological changes, explain what it meant when the Rural Electrification Act went into effect and they finally got power service over a line and could stop buying the prohibitively expensive Delco batteries and lighting by kerosene lamp. And what a change it made in their world. So it would, you know, it's context. It really is context. Now, as far as tonight is concerned, God willing and the crick don't rise, we will be joined by Sam Simpson at half past this hour. Now, you may have heard her discussions with Bruce Birch last week. They're trying to get the word out as much as possible, so I invited her to join me for a conversation this evening as well. And it's exciting to hear progressive people who have taken it upon themselves to go and pursue political office. Because anybody who's ever campaigned for it, so much as, you know, county surveyor knows that campaigning is a brutal and difficult job. And it wears on the hide and it wears on the soul. So we will be joined by Sam Simpson at the bottom of the hour, and I hope you'll enjoy the ideas that she puts forth. And if you can help in any way, please help. You know, we've got a list of people who need help who are being ignored, frankly, by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. They're having to do it on their own. You know, I'm looking forward to the day when Tony Trupiano is a member of Congress from Michigan's 11th District. I'm looking forward to a day when Sam Simpson is a member of Congress, when Mike Callahan from West Virginia's 2nd District is a member of Congress. But it's something that if we want, we have to do for ourselves and for them. Because there is still a power elite, and they think that they have the true handle on the true faith, as it were. And that true handle on the true faith doesn't include you and me. You know? It just doesn't. So there's all of that coming up. Now, you know what the news is today. You know that it would... I don't know. What is it? Cassandra? Is that the syndrome? I take no joy in having been confirmed in my correctness over the last several years. When George Bush started murdering the people of Iraq, I remember very well saying in May of 2003 that his war in Iraq was nothing but a great big Uncle Osama wants you recruiting poster. And lo and behold, we got it confirmed to us today, didn't we? 16 separate agencies conclude in a national intelligence estimate, that's right, that George Bush's war in Iraq has created a greater threat of so-called terroristic attacks than existed before he decided to murder over a tenth of a million Iraqi people. And that is a harrowing thought. It's a harrowing thought as I contemplate my friends who live in New York City, my friends in Chicago, my friends in Atlanta and Dallas, friends in St. Louis, Kansas City, friends in Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Miami. Because those are the places that are at greatest risk, no matter the fact that the Department of Homeland Security a couple of months ago said, no, the real risk is a petting zoo in Indiana. Yeah, they did. I'm not responsible for that. But that was, you know, John Negroponte's determination. So I worry about my friends. I worry about people that I don't know, that I may never know, never meet, that I whose existence I'm aware of only because of my contemplation of the abstraction of themselves. I worry about them because before March 2003 there was a much lower chance of anybody in America being hurt by a terrorist attack than there is now. Now that we are years, 3 years into a war that we didn't have to fight, in which soldiers, brave American men and women, died who did not have to die, in which brave American men and women in our military have been blown limb from limb and yet survived to tell the tale with lost limbs and lost minds. None of it had to happen. 100,000 Iraqi civilians did not have to die. It all didn't have to happen. But now that it has happened, we finally find out. What? Yes. We are at greater risk from it. Sends chills up and down my spine. It makes my veins feel like ice water runs through them. A little sweat pops up on my forehead when beads of fearful sweat. When I realize what that monster, that ghoul at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and his handler over at the Naval Observatory have done to the futures of my children, your grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, how they have irreparably, most likely, altered the very fabric of the future of this American Republic. All in the name of what? In the name of power. In the name of mammon. In the name of all the things that we are told should not be the focus of our existence. So that is where we begin tonight. For good or ill. What are your thoughts? The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email runs into bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network, and, well, you know who I am.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
Another day is over, another light is breaking, and I'm tired, but I'm wild about you, my little one. I feel you in the water, I feel you in the corner of my cell, hey, who else, babe, knows you like I do. As we go again round the stars and their friends, loving me.
Now is the time to join together to protect our world, or we could lose all it gives us. To learn how you can help, call for your free World Wildlife Fund Action Kit at 1-800-CALLWWF. Together, we can be a force for nature.
Said it was your duty, yours to fulfill. You joined the peacetime army, it's no longer a drill. Take a look around, if you have any doubts. To free the world from tyranny, that's what this is about. And they say, it's gonna take some time. Every day, there's one less of you in line. You are the sons and daughters of the working class, ordinary people with a monumental task. But the world isn't patient, knowing little of your pain. They hold you to a standard themselves they can't sustain. And at home, the pundits start to spin. Politicians and oil men cash in. Widows in office cry themselves to sleep at night. Corporations get in line, there's contracts to write. The rich man's war and the poor man's fight.
You know who that is? That is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful artist from the great Northwest. John Kuntz. If you live up that way and you get a chance to see him play, you will be in for a treat when you do so. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's about 23 minutes past the hour, and we're going to go straight to the phones here in a second, but I just wanted to let you know, in case you hadn't seen it yet, with regard to this national intelligence estimate in which 16 separate intelligence agencies agreed that the war in Iraq had made us less safe, Well, you know, facts are not going to get in the way of good politics where Republicans are concerned, because immediately they trotted out Skeletor. The Bush administration did. You know, Skeletor, Michael Negroponte, or John Negroponte. No, wait a second. Michael Chertoff is Skeletor. John Negroponte is just walking death. I get my ghouls confused so easily. I apologize. But no, they trotted out John Negroponte, Director of National Intelligence. Who said that determination that we are less safe now than we were before George started the war, that's only a fraction of the judgments in the NIE. It's just a fraction of the judgments. Of course, he didn't say what the other judgments were. The other judgments are that they agree. Nobody in their right mind could disagree. We have created two or three generations worth of desire, yearning, aching, wanting for revenge against you and against me for what was done in our name by that little man in Washington who has killed entire families, entire clans, tribes, and among other things, destroyed the Christian community that was flourishing in Iraq. Yeah, but never mind. Let's go to the phone. Sarge joins us. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing? Let's see. Now, let me get this right. Bob.
That would be me.
Okay. I knew I'd get it right today. Listen, I've got some bad news to report today. I mentioned it on Bruce, and I want to mention it to you as well.
Yeah, maybe follow up, please.
Go a little bit more in depth if I can. There is a disease, and I cannot pronounce it right, but I'll make a stab at it. Mangellan or something like
yeah,
that.
Morgellons. I'm not sure either.
We'll have to call in Dr. Bill on that one. Maybe he can tell us.
Could be.
But what it does, this woman was written about in the Mississippi Press newspaper, and she has had little small gray worms that are coming out of her body, and she has to pull them out. They're in her head, they're in her face, they're in her neck, her arms, her legs, and even the bottom of her feet. And it is a parasitic disease that comes from mold and mildew and stuff of this nature, from my understanding.
Well, the reading I did, Sarge, suggested that these things have been diagnosed as flatworms.
Yeah, some similar to that.
And that she can take a course of antibiotics and they go away, but the minute she gets off the antibiotics, they come back.
That's right. There is no known cure for it. Jim looked it up and gave me a link to it, and I read about it, and there is no known cure for it. Now, I have called my contact down there, and she told me that there's more than one case, that there are other diseases, too, that are not being pushed, that are probably parasitic diseases as well, and they're not being reported. They're being covered up by all the politicians, including the Democrats. There is nobody that's letting this news get out.
Well, we're trying here, aren't we, Sarge?
Yeah. Well, of course, you know our Democrats down here are pretty much DLC types. Republican lights.
Yeah, they have to be conservative Democrats.
Yeah, and so, you know, they're playing ball with the governor and all these rat, you know. Mm-hmm. Can I say that word on
rat bastards? Say it twice, Sarge.
Yeah, those rat bastards down there. And I can see it becoming epidemic, and I'm pretty sure it is. In fact, my contact has been facing all kind of harassment. She's had a death threat. She's had her tires cut, and then when she went to get her tires replaced with her Sears card, the name of the account had been changed, and they would not tell her what the name was.
Oh, Lord.
She's being ganged up on at work, and I'm trying like hell to get her out of there because I'm scared to death for her. Of course, I sent all of this to Greg Palace as well, so Greg will be aware of it.
Right. Well, you know, what we've got to realize is that there are long-term consequences, Sarge, that flow out of the arrogance and the disdain of the Bush administration for poor folks, working folks, middle-class folks, for the people in general along the Gulf Coast.
Okay, just a second. Bob,
yeah.
Lottie put up on how to pronounce it. Morgellons.
Morgellons, okay.
But, yeah, hey, look, I'm going to tell you something, Bob, and people better pay attention. If this disease is breaking out down here, it's going to other parts of the country as well. It's not going to stay just here. And anyone that thinks it is crazy because there is no way. And if Americans don't pay attention to this, they're going to be the next victims.
Well, yeah, these people are evil who are in, you know, who engaged in the direct ignorance of the threat that was posed by Katrina, who are managing the so-called recovery and restoration following it. They have their own agenda, whether it's whether it's dispersing a traditionally Democrat voting black vote from the region, or whether it's, as some have argued, genocide, Sarge. There are real agendas out there that are nasty in their scope and just hellish in their implementation. And unfortunately, it falls to people like you to resist them.
Well, if you go back to my columns, go to the August 29th column, I printed the talking points that Barber was putting out. And
yeah.
They will definitely show you what the plan is. The plan is to get rid of all the poor, have an enslaved class of workers, to build these fancy resort communities, and to make it more or less a mini Las Vegas. And those talking points strictly show that. You don't have to stretch your imagination very far to see that's the plan.
No, and it doesn't require a tinfoil helmet or black helicopters outside your window. You're absolutely right.
It's just, and you know, this news of the NSA and all that, the people's not believing it either. They don't believe that it's very possible that the NSA is in the Horn chat room or the Hartman chat room or Powers and Morrison chat room or wherever. But they can follow any of us, especially when they're using Choice Point and these other rat bastard outfits. They know what we're doing. They know more about us than we could ever want them to.
But,
and we've got to quit being so naive in this nation. We've got to start saying, hey, we are on the brink of falling as a nation. I'd say if this continues on, the United States can't last another 10 years like this.
God, I hope you're wrong. I sincerely hope you're wrong, Sarge. But, you know, there are people out there that a dramatically different United States would suit them just fine. Because they don't feel like the First Amendment, the Second, Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, Eighth, Ninth, Tenth. None of those are anything that we need, the middle class or the lower class should be entitled to in the first place. Because the rights are for them because they feel that they are, destined to rule?
Well, then you got to this, we're an enslaved nation within a nation down here in the South. You know, them Yankees, they just got us oppressed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
God. Sarge, thanks so much. Keep an eye on it and share with us anything you find.
All
righty.
Now, that is all on my column at powersandmorrison.com, so I hope everybody will make a trip over there and read it.
I have. I hope everyone will, too. You take care, Sarge.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, too many bees, I know. Later. And we're joined now by Sam Simpson, calling in from Florida, candidate for Congress in, is it the 10th Congressional District, Sam?
Yes, it is.
Thank you very kindly for joining us tonight. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance. I know you talked with my compadre, Bruce Birch, last week. You've recently spent some time being interviewed, trying to get a little bit of press down there. How did that go?
Well, you know, it's been kind of interesting. We did something with one of the television stations, and I spent some time with them talking about torture, talking about the war, talking about the mismanagement, talking about the lies, the manipulation, the greed, what we should do with our energy, education, etc., seniors in the donut hole. And all that came out, they didn't use anything of what I said. All that came out was that there were two women candidates who didn't really know what they were doing because they didn't raise enough money. So I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed with that one.
messing around with the mainstream media, it's never going to bring you anything but heartache.
Isn't that something? But we got a real nice article in the Creative Loafing.
Yeah.
Wayne Garcia did a real nice little one-page article and a very measured, very even, very balanced article in the St. Petersburg Times that came out today. And that was just so special. A lady named Miss Waveney Moore wrote that, and I had actually had a conversation with some folks at the St. Pete Times because I wasn't getting any press, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd had Ray McGovern come to town. Ray McGovern, the 27-year veteran CIA agent.
No, I'm well familiar with it.
Okay, well, Ray came to town, and he was doing a benefit for us, and we didn't have anybody covering that. And so I called up, and I said, you know, why aren't you doing anything? And they said, well, let me be honest with you. They said, no one thinks you can win. And I said, well, can you tell me what you mean by no one? And they said, well, the local Democratic Party, the state Democratic Party, and the national Democratic Party. And I went, well, that's interesting. I said, I disagree.
You know,
we got a few thousand people that think we can. And I started breaking down the statistics and the numbers. And they said, well, just hang on, hang on. Here, talk to this person, talk to this person. So we had some volunteers make some phone calls, and they assigned us a reporter, which was just so kind. And so there was a real nice article today in the St. Pete Times.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I was real happy.
You know, I remember when Dennis Kucinich was asked in one of the debates during the 2004 run-up to the nomination to the convention, someone, you know, one of those smarmy media types said, well, Congressman Kucinich, do you really think you could win? And bless his heart, Dennis looked back and said, sure can if you vote for me.
Exactly. You know, also, too, I think that we need to look upon winning as a slightly larger component of just, you know, putting it into, okay, well, it's going to be a seat. Winning is like me talking to you. You know, winning is waking people up. Winning is having a 21-year-old girl who came to the stage after the Ray McGovern crying her eyes out, saying, hey, you know what, you've given me hope. Winning is having three sisters, they're in their 70s, came to a picnic we had yesterday, and they were saying, we're so glad you're running. I think that's winning. But I do think we can win the seat, too.
Yeah, yeah. I like the fact that you're able to put a face on what victory means.
Yes, I think we need to do that. You know, it's not about billions of dollars, and it's about touching other people, human beings, and helping them.
Well, how about the idea of having a congressional office on the Hill, Ms. Simpson, a congressional office on the Hill where the door is open to ordinary citizens and closed to corporate lobbyists?
Interesting that you would say that, because I am so in agreement with that. I have been telling people that one of the rules I'm going to try to employ, should I be honored with, you know, the opportunity to represent people, is that I'm going to have a 100-mile rule. Like they have that 100-mile rule out in the Gulf of Mexico. We should not be drilling out there. Maybe we can stop it. But my 100-mile rule is, if you're a lobbyist, it's 100 miles.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be gone 100 miles. Now, if you want to talk about feeding the poor, you know, reducing our jail population, you want to talk about, you know, reworking the Medicaid D-bill, you know, you want to talk about real life, then we'll talk.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I got an email today from somebody who said, you know, if you do this, I really hope that your values won't change.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, I'm 52 years old. You know, I've been broken emotionally. I've been hurt. And where we really get our information is we keep our nose to the ground, our ears to the ground. And I'm going to have people here doing research for me. We know more here than what they know in Washington anyway.
Of course, of course.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
But I guess maybe one of the fears that was being given word in that note you got was that Washington, it would seem, changes people.
I guess they say it does. You know, I can't say that because I've not been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But I figure if I'm almost halfway to 100, and I'm pretty much the same as I was when I was about 6, except, I mean, as far as the hope and the belief,
right.
I haven't changed yet. You know, time will tell. I mean, I can't predict the future, but I'm going to spend as much time as I can with the people. We know that.
Right.
And I want to go into the president's office, and I want to tell him to repent.
You go.
Thanks.
I want you to go and do that.
I do. I want to tell him. I can't believe what's going on right now.
Well, you know, you mentioned all these things that require immediate attention. The donut hole, Sam, can we be on a first-name basis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sam, the donut hole just drives me batty.
Oh, I know.
The idea that pharmaceutical companies are getting paid right now for not delivering services to seniors who desperately need their medication makes me want to just stand outside, tear at my hair, rend my garments, and sit in sackcloth and ashes and scream for a while.
You know what? I'm with you. I feel that it's, in one sense, it's murder.
Yes.
Because people are, and I thought the donut hole was just, you know, one year. I didn't realize it was every.
No, it comes back. It's
year.
Yeah.
Every single year. So what you're saying is people that, you know, can't afford their heart medicine, people that can't afford their diabetic medicine, whatever it is they can't afford, we're talking about people that are going to die.
Well, and compound that, Sam, with the fact that, among other things, when Medicare Part D went into effect, and it came as quite a shock to a lot of poorer Americans, a lot of elderly Americans, they got their food stamps cut.
Yes.
So they can't even afford the little Friskies anymore.
I mean, it's Oh, gosh. It's so terrible. And we're talking about the drug companies are probably going to get about $139 billion in profits. So, I mean, this whole thing was just, this is a perfect example of the sellout to the pharmaceutical corporations over and above the needs of the people. It's a perfect sellout, and it's tragic, and it's just like the culmination of the greed and the hubris. I don't know when exactly or where it started. I know that each human heart can get that way, but it's just time to come back.
I don't understand either. I don't know, and this is maybe one of the fundamental disconnects that we're going to have as we try to save this nation, Sam, is trying to understand where, you know, at what point in time did Dick Cheney decide to stop being human?
Well, you know, when he was back in Congress, he voted against Meals on Wheels.
Yes.
That's what I've heard. So I'm wondering if he's had this in him, you know, a long, long time. But, I mean, I don't understand it. Here we are, you know, Americans who care about the country, who want our civil liberties, who don't want to put men and women at risk in illegal, manipulated, unjust wars, who don't want to go around bombing people who have not attacked us or have not hurt us. And most parents teach their kids, don't lie, don't steal. Most small businesses can't do that and stay in business. So I think we have what we need is like a moral revolution, and we start with just don't lie, don't steal, and I think if we could just start there, we'd be in good shape. I mean, we'd be in better shape. Let's demand that of our leaders. If we demand it of our children,
well,
why
exactly.
Can we not demand it of our leaders?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I want to assume that you're going to wind up in Congress, Sam.
Oh.
I want you to be there.
Thanks.
This country is hungry for real leadership and fighting back. Do you have any plans? Because when you get there, Sam, you're going to be taken up to that high place and offered all the, you know, dominion of the earth for all intents and purposes. Do you have an agenda for what you do when you get there to protect your integrity and to begin addressing these questions that must be addressed on an almost emergency basis?
Yeah, interestingly enough, I've got some dear friends up there that I know exactly what church I'm going to be going to. so I can definitely have a covering, if mm-hmm. you know what I mean. But, you know, I'm not going up there for me, number one. I'm going up there for the country. I'm going up there for the people. So, and if I can get the job done in 2 years, I'll get the job done in 2 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going up there for a career. I'm going up there because we need to stop this president and we need to stop this administration. And if there are enough of people like myself that understand the Constitution and the separation of powers and understand that we're not supposed to torture and understand that that is the general welfare of the people, that we are supposed to take care of. I would say first and foremost, we have to take care of this idea. We have to bring the American people back to knowing that they don't need to fear. That we healthy fear is not a bad thing. But this irrational, outrageous fear is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And I want to help the Congress understand, and help the president understand, he needs to tell the world that he was wrong and he needs to make a mistake. He needs to admit he made a mistake and he needs to repent. And we need to have an absolute deadline to get out of Iraq. We need to have an absolute timeline. But the people that are going to come home first are the corporations. I want to bring home Halliburton. I want to bring home Pace. I want to bring home all these people who have failed miserably with these reconstruction contracts. And I want to take the money that they were supposed to have and put it in an international consortium so the Iraqis can rebuild their country. And we bring home, you know, there are at least 25,000, if not more, paid security guards.
Yes.
Otherwise known as mercenaries.
Right.
Who do not, they are not subject to any kind of international law, military code of justice, nothing. We have to bring them home. The report that came out today, the little leaked piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. The National Intelligence Estimate.
Yeah, the National Intelligence Estimate, of course. I mean, I heard the spin. It was just really so sad. Karen Townsend, I heard her on CNN today, just trying to spin how that wasn't really true. You know, we've known that we've been promoting terrorism by our occupation in Iraq for a while now.
Yes.
And I really think the absolute number one thing that we have to do, now, God forbid this administration is going to bomb Iran before November. But if they do, you know, I don't want people to, you know, get afraid and think it's the end of the world, because I believe that we can, if we get up there, you know, we can, it's going to take 15, 20 years to stop this damage. I mean, we have to have an outlook, not 2 years, not 4 years, you know, 20 years. But number one, I'm rambling. Number one, we stop what we're doing. We stop what we're doing. We repent as a nation.
In order to stop being evil, we stop doing evil.
Exactly, exactly. And we have an absolute a strategy of withdrawal, a strategy for them to rebuild. We are not involved in it. We disavow those military bases, and we disavow that oil. And we begin a 20-year project here in this country to transform our energy policy away from oil and gas. Now that
and coal.
And coal. I mean, that's
we're touchy about that up here, Sam.
Yeah, oh, sorry about that.
That's
well,
okay.
Now,
coal.
Where are you located?
West Virginia.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah,
we're tops of mountains up there.
Yeah, we're busy having our state destroyed in the name of clean coal technology.
Oh my God, it's just so horrible. It's so horrible. Have you heard of? I think I might have mentioned this. The Rocky Mountain Institute, Avery Lovins.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Okay, well, you know, the guy needs to be the head of the Department of Energy. You know, I mean, if we really want to do what's right for our nation, for our globe, for our world, we start with stopping doing what we're doing in Iraq, disavowing these militaristic imperialist ideas, bring our troops home so we can protect our own shores.
Well, you know, we've got news out today, Sam, that 4,000 servicemen and women in Ramadi who were promised they would be coming home now won't.
You know,
they were told today, you're staying, okay? Deal with it.
So awful! It's so awful the way our troops are treated, and they've decimated the National Guard. We've got, you know, the military rummaging through schools as part of the No Child Left Behind project, you know, concept, just signing these kids up left and right like fodder for their war.
This has to
stop. So to me, that's the primary number one, and possibly, you know, if we can impeach this man and Cheney and get them out, or invoke the 25th Amendment. I've been reading about that lately.
Oh, you mean the disability clause?
Yes.
You think George is disabled right now?
Well, I think he's not right. I really do. I mean, I just don't think it's not rational. It's not reasonable. It's not moral. And it feels like it's militaristic, messianic, and megalomaniac to me. What about you?
Hey, 3M, messianic, megalomaniac, and militaristic.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it put that way. No, I think he's a very sick man.
I do.
We've got a sort of in-house regular psychologist, you know, the real deal guy, who calls in from Texas from time to time, and he took me through one night. Didn't tell me what I was doing, Sam, but we ran off a checklist of some 8 criteria and tried to apply them to the ersatz president of the United States. And lo and behold, we were able to connect him to all 8 of those criteria. After we were done, Dr. Goodner explained to me that I had just been through Axis 1 from the DSM-4, Axis 1 for sociopath. And you only have to meet 3 in order to get a diagnosis on Axis 1. We had applied all 8.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, I'm pretty convinced that he is a very, very ill man. There's plenty, you know, from branding pledges with white hot wires at Yale to putting explosives in frogs as a child. You know, this is Jeffrey Dahmer stuff, Sam.
I want to definitely, you know, say that, you know, we respect the office of the presidency, you know, and I do my best not to, you know, flail about mocking. I mean, I pray for that president, but
yeah.
I think he's seriously ill, and we've got to do something to stop him, because it seems to me that the Christian, I mean, it seems to me he's almost, in a sense, being used by these, whoever it is, plus the Christian rights on board, and everybody wants the apocalypse to come, and they all want Jesus to come back, so they're just...
Yeah, and, they're going to compel Jesus to come back, you know, they're going to drag him down.
Isn't that the most prideful thing? Isn't that one of the prideful things I've ever heard in my life?
Yeah, I know, pride goes before a fall. I'm waiting for the fall.
I am too.
You know?
I am too.
Sam, let me ask you, would you mind taking a quick question from a caller, please?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, we're joined by our good friend Alice calling from California. She wanted to speak to you for a moment. Alice, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Alice.
Candidate Sam?
Yes, that's me.
What some of us would like to know is, what do you think about election fraud And voting machines.
Voting machines. Okay, well, there are some. Clint Curtis is one of the people that's running for Congress in another district down here. Clint is very interesting. He's the one that actually wrote some code that the machines to flip them. I don't trust the machines, and we're encouraging everybody to do an absentee ballot. And I'm hopeful there are a lot more people coming on board with demanding to go back to a paper ballot. I really think we need a national act that everybody in the United States of America is able to have a paper, some kind of receipt when they vote so that everything can be counted. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I'm a little concerned about this new bill that they were working on today where you're going to have a show your citizenship. Was it 2008, 2010? Which puts especially elder people in a bad situation because we're talking about your driver's license does not show your citizenship. So there, it seems like they're doing more and more and more to try to eliminate the vote. And what we need to do when we take Congress back, that is an area that we must attack, along with public financing of elections, you know, to just get this money out.
I couldn't agree with you more, Sam. Alice, does that answer your question pretty well?
Well, you know, we've lost so many votes to the Bush outfit.
I've heard Alice that
it's a big question.
It is a big question, but what Greg Palast says, Greg Palast is an investigative reporter, and he was the one that discovered that there were 3,900,000 votes that were not counted in the 2004 election. A lot of them were these provisional ballots. But what Greg Palast says is what we have to do is we have to get so many people to vote that no matter what they try to do, they can't steal it from us. Now, I'm encouraging everybody to do an absentee ballot.
Well,
and let me tell you this.
For the voters, because their vote just doesn't count.
Well, you know what? I disagree. I disagree, and I want to give people hope, because I got on the ballot by two votes. I got on the ballot by two votes. I needed 4,088 petitions, and I got 4,089. Now, what that means, if somebody would have stayed home that day, I wouldn't have been on the ballot. So I really think get an absentee ballot. One of the things that they do say is to update your signature, because if you haven't updated your signature for a long time, that can change. But I would just encourage everybody to vote. Everybody vote. Everybody vote. If you can vote absentee, vote absentee. But don't give up. I mean, they can't be swapping every single machine. It seems like they concentrate on states. You know, Florida, Ohio, New Mexico. They can't be doing it everywhere all at once. So I really believe we're gonna win this, and it's gonna come, because you can only swing so far into the dark side before you begin to come back to balance, and we're gonna swing back the other way, Alice.
What would you like to do about it?
About with the voting?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have a national, absolute, just like I would like to have a felon restoration program on a national level, for their right to vote. I would like to have a national program where all the precincts have all the same voting machines. Every single precinct has the same voting machine.
Or perhaps no machine.
Or no machine at all, exactly. Well, there are voting machines. There's a guy in Leon County, Ion Sancho, who is wonderful in Leon County here in Florida. He is a wonderful man, tireless supporter for voting machines that are electronic, but you can get a printout at the same time. And he would be someone that I would absolutely follow in terms of getting the insight on what kind of machine to buy, because they are available. I guess what they've had trouble with is people who are disabled, who can't see, who are blind, they want to have a different kind of machine. But we've got to work that out. We have to have a national equal way where people can vote, it can be counted, and they can have a receipt, they can know and it can be recounted, they can have it in their hands. It has to be done.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Matt.
I hope and pray that this is the right kind of an election.
I do too.
Yeah.
It may be the last one we have.
That's right.
It may be the last one we have, and that's why we've got to get every single person who thought that they ever wanted to vote or didn't ever want to vote. We have to get all the people who feel disenfranchised and tell them how important they are and tell them that, you know, with hope, we can, with some vision, we can take this back. We have to get them out. This is it. I mean, we've got, what, 40 days? We've got to get them out to vote.
I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you very much, Sam.
You're
thank you, Alice. It's awfully good to hear from you, dear.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Sam, it seems like we've only been talking for a couple of minutes, but we're coming up on the top of the hour. Would it bother you to talk to folks for just a little while longer?
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay, great, because I really want to go into we've been on a pretty philosophical path. I'd like for us to talk a few nuts and bolts too,
sure.
If you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
We talked about priorities and agendas. I'd like to get an idea of, we've got 5 minutes. So let's start right now. What is job one for Sam Simpson in Congress?
Okay, job one would be Iraq, stopping that, getting the president to repent, whether we stop the funding. But that's job one, the will of the people in Iraq. Job two is to begin the process of transforming our energy policy, start those wheels in motion, have a national commitment to conservation and a brand new way of life. Job three, we are going to cut wasteful programs from the Department of Defense, and we're going to put that money into health care, and we're going to put that money into education. Lawrence Korb, who worked with Reagan, has put together, helped some congressmen already put together a common sense budget, which takes about $60 billion, which is, in those terms, not that much money. But at least the process can begin. These are Cold War weapons, V-22s. I really don't think that we need our missile defense plan. I think that the warfare that we're going to talk about is to protect our borders is going to be much, much less with missiles coming over Alaska as opposed to protecting our ports, protecting our borders. We've got to turn our hearts toward home, think about homeland security. I mean, these are all connected. There's so many things.
Mm-hmm.
They're all connected. But number one is you know, a reprioritization of our goal as a nation. Do we want to be involved in the eternal global war on terror? Or do we want to fight terrorism?
Well, right, yeah. I mean, are we so silly that we're going to persist in this notion that we can make war on an abstract noun?
Right. Exactly. We have to stop that. But we're going to have to re-educate the American people. But I think there are more people that understand that when you're losing your civil liberties and you have a president who's out of control with signing statements and you have a Patriot Act that really could, you and I could be put into jail just at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got possibly, you know, military tribunals, maybe they're not called that, but taking away the writ of habeas corpus. I mean, our Constitution's at stake here. And it's a combination of stemming the tide, stopping, initiating in dialogue, stopping what's going on, and starting a new course. So all these things are mixed up in one. We can't be spending $318 billion, or it'll be much, much more, $320, $400 billion, $500 billion. They say if we stay there 4 more years, it's $1.27 trillion. We can't be doing that and taking care of our seniors. We can't be doing that and fixing our schools. We can't be doing that and having health care. So what's our priorities? What are priorities?
Life, it really is a life or death choice, isn't it?
I believe that because as we transform our energy policy, we can refurbish factories, we can, you know, create living wage jobs, we can create new ways of living, new technologies, we can do all kinds of things, we can give kids hope, give them something to think about,
give them a future,
exactly. We got to have a national commitment to something other than
death.
Global war on terror.
Yeah. I can't get inside the mind of someone, Sam, who is willing to kill a tenth of a million people and, you know, at really no real good return for our money when you down to it.
Oh, I know.
They're willing to spend $1 trillion,
yes,
to kill, you know, a tenth of a million, two-tenths of a million people, but they can't spend a fraction of that amount of money to save the lives
Yeah, I mean,
of a million people at home.
You're right. People are here in Florida are still in trailers from the hurricanes 4 years ago, let alone, I mean, let even talk about Katrina. But what we're really talking about, we're talking about greed. We're talking about they're not leaving Iraq. In their mind, it's not about, it's about those contracts they want to.
And you see, we don't realize, Sam, oh, dear, we're out of, okay, we're going to go do the news.
Okay.
The clock is sometimes my enemy, Sam.
Well, I've so enjoyed this.
Well, stand by, and we'll come back out of the news, and we'll take this a little further, okay?
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying this. I hope you are as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be right back. It is time for the news. This is the Head-On Radio Network. This is a conversation with Florida 10th Congressional District candidate Sam Simpson. Hope you'll stick around for more of it on the other side of the news. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I'm sampling from your bosom, sometimes I suffer from distractions like, why does God cause things like tornadoes and train wrecks?
This is the Quality News Network. The Army says the combat tours for about 4,000 soldiers will be extended. They were set to return to their home base in Germany in early January, but now won't return until at least late February. They're operating in the Anbar province, one of the most violent areas of the country. In San Diego today, three Camp Pendleton Marines, they were told they'll face court-martial on murder charges in connection with the death of an Iraqi man. Preliminary hearings will be held in the next few weeks for four other Marines and a Navy corpsman who were also allegedly involved in that incident. On Capitol Hill, debate continues on legislation that outlines how terror suspects can be treated. Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont criticized the rush to pass the bill. The full Senate could vote in the legislation by Friday when the fall recess begins. In Washington, several retired military officers criticized Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as being incompetent and called for him to be replaced. They accused him of sending U.S. troops without the proper equipment and hiding facts from the public. Also in Washington, congressional Democrats are calling for a new direction in the war on terrorism. Over the weekend, parts of the national intelligence estimate were leaked to the media. It states that global terrorism and Islamic radicalism are more of a threat now than before the war in Iraq started. Transportation Security Administration is easing some security rules about what passengers can bring on board. Starting tomorrow, travelers will be allowed to carry on 3-ounce travel-sized containers of toiletries, which must be placed in a clear zip-top plastic bag. Drinks and other items that are purchased in secure areas of the airport can also be carried on. In Basra today, British troops reportedly killed a top al-Qaeda leader. He had escaped from a U.S. prison in Afghanistan last year. He was shot to death in an early morning raid in Iraq's second largest city. In Kandahar, Afghanistan, the head of the Ministry of Women's Affairs has been gunned down outside of her house. She was a strong advocate of women's rights and education in the southern province, an area Taliban insurgents are attacking more frequently. In the Midwest and South, 12 people killed in weekend storms. Kentucky, the worst hit. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, up next at 2.5 minutes past.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Scientists say Earth could be the warmest now than in the last million years. particularly in the part of the Pacific Ocean that gives birth to El Nino weather patterns. And though those patterns will not necessarily be more frequent, they say the effects will be stronger. A New York judge has sanctioned a class action lawsuit by tens of millions of light cigarette smokers. It could cost the tobacco companies as much as $200 billion. Utah health officials say they found a second bag of spinach contaminated with the E. coli bacteria. 173 people have been sickened so far. Walgreens is reporting a 25% jump in its fourth quarter profit. The nation's largest drugstore chain credits stronger sales of its prescription drugs. The top 100 mother-friendly places to work, according to Working Mom magazine, make that Working Mother magazine, include Abbott Laboratories, Ernst & Young, IBM, and J.P. Morgan Chase. China's largest bank, the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, will introduce its initial public offering next month. It'll be the biggest IPO in history. Toyota Motor reports that its global production rose last month in Tokyo by more than 17%. Light sweet crude settled at $61.45 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow up 68 points at 11,576, NASDAQ up 30, S&P 500 up 12. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Thank you.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
I confess, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of taking a lot for granted on this program, not the least of which is the profound intelligence of the people who choose to share their time in conversation and concourse and collegiality with us here, Agnes and me. So I'm not real good about saying websites, because I figure if you hear the name Sam Simpson, you're going to run out and you're going to Google it up or whatever. But if you'd like me to do the work for you, it's Sam Simpson for Congress, and that's Sam with two M's, right, Sam?
That's correct.
S-A-M-M, SimpsonForCongress.com. It's a great website, by the way.
Oh, thank you. We wanted it to be about people. And that's, you know, that's pretty much what it is. You know, on your newscast, they were talking about global warming.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even discussed that. I mean,
we haven't. That's how long the list is getting, Sam.
The list is everything. You know, the list is everything. I mean, you know, nuclear annihilation or global warming. You know, I mean, which one do you want to go? And it's like, that's why I really believe that people, just like you and me, are in Israel, they're in Iraq, they're in Afghanistan. They're all over the world. People that simply want to have an opportunity to have shelter over their heads, clean water, good food, a little bit of security, maybe a job, maybe a career, and be able to see their children grow up healthy.
And smile once in a while.
Exactly. I mean, these are the basic needs. And what we're talking about, really, is because sometimes, I got to tell you, Bob, sometimes I sit here and I go, my God, this is so evil. And so huge and so bleak, because, you know, whoever is behind the powers of oil and gas or the pharmaceuticals or, you know, whatever, I mean, these things are controlling our lives. And whoever really wants the U.S. to attack Iran, and what's China going to do, and what's Iran going to do, and, you know, what's Russia going to do, and, you know, we know that anything's possible, but... I'm a Christian, okay? I'm a Christian, and yes, I believe that Jesus is going to come back someday, all right?
Okay.
But I also, you know, believe that when I see greed and avarice and manipulation and lies and death in his name, I'm going to stand up and shout. And I believe that we can turn this thing around. I mean, we don't have to do much. We got to get rid of this administration.
Well, yeah, and we've got it. You mentioned a 20-year program.
Yes.
Before the top of the hour.
Yes.
We've got to understand, and this is a fault with the American people, and I'm as guilty as the next guy. We are an instant gratification society.
Oh my God, yes.
This is not something that it took Bill Clinton 8 years to clean up some of the mess that Ronald Reagan and George Bush had left after their 12 in office.
Yeah.
And it took George Bush 6 months to destroy everything that Bill Clinton had done.
It's It's incredible, the accumulation, like for our debt, for example, to go into $8.3 trillion worth of debt after having a surplus. And some people say unfunded liabilities go out a few years with Medicaid and Social Security at $65 trillion. Some people say we're already bankrupt. And then you've got China owning our treasury bills and all this kind of thing. I mean, it seems to me that we need to return to some sense of moral reasoning in our country. We've got a president who says that this is a culture of life. I disagree. We are in a culture of death.
Yes.
And I want to bring about hope and vision for a culture of life. I think that if we can remove this administration and we have a movement of the people to not be subject to, you know, lobbyists writing the rules. What are they doing writing the rules for you and me?
What are they doing writing? What were they doing writing the Medicare prescription legislation? They wrote it, Sam. I mean, you know it. I know it.
Yeah, that's unconscionable. That's unconscionable. So
I'm tired of sending people to Capitol Hill who don't want to do the work.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's immoral.
Yeah.
It's unconscionable, and what it is power and greed and
it's money. Lazy too.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a mankind in his heart can go, you know, just about any way which, and money and greed, I guess, can just suck you right in. I don't plan on letting it happen to me. But then again, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Somebody slap me. Somebody get me out of there. All right.
Yeah.
But we've also got to, as Americans, we've got to, as voters, I mean, look at the apathy in the country. Who's been voting lately?
Well, if you sit down and you realize that on a national level, a 60% turnout is acceptable in this country, and then you work downward from that, the 60% turnout is a function of some larger number of unregistered voters who are otherwise eligible to vote. And then you go downward from that to realize that half of that 60%, at some point you come to what I consider to be a mathematical realization that our Republican form of representative democracy is in extreme jeopardy in the first decade of the 21st century.
Oh, there's no question. We had like about a 10% turnout, maybe 10 to 15% turnout in the primaries here in this
right.
county. 10 to 15%!
And that's 85% of the rest of the county telling the world that they don't care who rules.
Like, oh my gosh! So somehow we have to find, you know, because the apathy and the hopelessness, see, they've done a real good job on the fear-mongering. So if we can let people know that, you know what, if enough of you get out there and you start talking and you start digging and you start telling the truth, that your freedom and your civil liberties are at risk. I mean, this is it, folks.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with the attention deficit disorder, instant gratification nature of the American people. We've got to stay focused. Those of us in the progressive community, those of us who want to see an America that is worth having for all Americans, we have got to maintain a laser beam focus. I remember the War Room, the movie about the Clinton candidacy in 1992, and they had the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid."
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe it's time for us as progressives, Sam, to realize it's the future.
It's the future. Oh, that's beautiful. You're right. You're absolutely right. And basically, who I'm running against, the future, according to that particular ideology, which would be, I would have to say, the Republican ideology that's entrenched in power, is global terror, global war on terror, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Global war on terror, and it's everywhere. Global war on terror, and it's everywhere. That's their future.
There is no future. Live in fear.
Exactly. And I will not accept that paradigm, because I think a lot of what's going on, we've had 60 years of foreign policy where we've made some grave errors. And it's time for us as citizens in America and to fess up what we've done and to become, you know, to become a global partner. We're always going to have enemies. We can deal with that.
Sure.
But we've created a lot of them, and it's time for healing. It's time to reach out. I can't believe.
Well, what do you say, Sam? Because I'm sure some, you know, there are little right wing weirdo lurkers that listen to this program too, who I'm sure I will hear, you know, just another one of those hate America, blame America first liberals who doesn't understand that we're under attack and has forgotten the lessons of 9/11. How do you respond to soft on terror, well, not going to protect America?
I guess my question would be, you know, there were Saudi Arabians on those planes.
There were 15 of them,
yeah.
Darn right.
And actually six of the people, they found six of the people on those planes are alive.
I know, that's
was,
a little
I mean,
disturbing.
You really went again to some of that stuff. But yeah, they could. I guess I'm not soft in the sense of self defense. We're doing self offense.
Right.
You know, and if somebody came again, we are so heinously unprepared. Do you know that our first responders? I'm pretty sure they don't even have those the proper frequencies. You know, everybody's supposed to be.
Yeah.
They don't have those yet because the 911 commission report they haven't been filled yet. They have our ports, our nuclear plants. We've got to protect those.
Yes.
We've got to dig in. I say we got to dig in. Yeah, we got to protect ourselves. I mean, this.
Well, the fact of the matter is, there aren't just crazy people 8,000 miles away who would like to do us harm. We have a dedicated right wing that was, you know, manifested, frankly, in Timothy McVeigh.
McVeigh, you're right.
Who will do much? Who can do as much or more damage inside this country? And they would like to, Sam.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm glad you brought that up because Timothy McVeigh was his skin color was pale, and one thing that has really, really hurt me as a human being. Is the just the decimation of anybody that's got a skin color that looks like a Muslim or Middle Eastern?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm 9 years old again watching George Wallace on television. But I'm here. I am 52 and I'm watching this bigotry just oversweep the land, and it's just breaking my heart because we've got to understand that anybody can be turned to doing heinous acts. You're not born into a genetic heinous act. I'm over this, just religious war. It's just terrible what they're doing. We want their oil. We want the oil. We want
well, and we want to control the thing. But I'm not arguing with you. But we've got to bear in mind, Sam, that we don't just want the oil. We want the control of the
Absolutely.
Oil. Because I run a little promo about the show from
right.
time to time on the network. It's about not just about making sure we've got oil. It's about making sure that we control the spigots that control the flow to the developing world, namely India and China, because they hold so much of our debt. I think that these.
Right.
These corporatist oligarchs think that the only way they can neutralize the threat from what they've created with the debt is to have a handle on their economies, their economic engine's ability to grow.
I am so with you. You know, the amount of barrels that were coming out of Iraq from the time this war began till now hadn't really changed that much. It was like 2.2 million barrels a day. It went down. It was 2.4. It went down to 2.2. What happened to our gas prices? Our gas prices went from what $1.29 to $3 a gallon, and now, of course, they're lowering them in time for the election.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the election. Now you just stop that.
But it's just they made their profits. I'm really tired of being manipulated by oil and gas. My point is, I don't want oil and gas to determine my future foreign policy.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Sam. I'm tired of making choices between milk and gasoline.
Isn't that? Oh my! And think about it. You've got a job. Think about the people that are working, part time or working minimum.
Yeah, two or three minimum wage jobs,
yeah.
and not getting ahead. The right has handed us family values. We know that most divorces in this country occur because the two people who are committed to one to another and have created wonderful little children of their own, they can no longer stand each other because they are absolutely eaten alive by financial pressures, financial fears. It's not the fooling around and the romping and stuff that causes most of the divorces. It's the financial pressures.
And I am in 100% agree with you. We as we transform our energy policy, as we make a commitment to the future so that we can do our best to forge forward with these horrific mistakes that they've made and deal with what's going to be thrown at us because of what they've done. Now, if somebody throws something at us right now, I don't really think we're able to protect ourselves.
We're not. We can. We have made ourselves And it just embarrasses me. We've made ourselves into a paper tiger. I've got another question for you here, Sam.
Yeah.
Our friend Chris calls in from Alabama. Chris, welcome to the program.
Miss Simpson, it's an honor to talk to you.
Oh, hi, Chris. Me too.
Bob, I talk to you all the time.
Yeah, I'll just step back.
Yeah, you just get out of the way. Miss Simpson, you've got a line on your one of the many pages on your website about minimum wage. Poverty breeds despair.
Yes.
Well, I'll give you a line for free. Poverty knows no color.
You're absolutely right.
It's a hateful, stricken disease that it doesn't care what color you are, where you live, or anything. I totally agree with you that we need to raise the minimum wage, but one of the biggest employers in this country, Walmart, I used to work for them, so I can tell you with some certainty, Walmart now pays well above the minimum wage. But the biggest problem with Walmart is they will pay their part-time people above minimum wage, but the majority of that company is run by part-time employees, and they will not and refuse to give majority of their employees insurance.
Heard that.
And as you well know, they have – I wouldn't really want to call what Walmart does lobby. They have most of the building. So they're really above the lobbying stage. I know we need to raise the minimum wage, and I wholly support that. But, you know, it goes a little beyond that.
Well, I think we need national health insurance.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I think that can, for businesses that, you know, that breaks the small businesses' backs.
Absolutely.
That will help them out. We've got to have national health insurance. I've put out thousands of dollars a month for my own family. On money that, you know, on credit cards to pay medical bills
that you can't get rid of in bankruptcy now, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy. Look at the usury rates on credit card companies.
My wife and I had to file bankruptcy not long after my daughter was born. We had bills, but we could have somehow managed those bills, but after my daughter was born. We were both working for Walmart. There you go. There's another thing. We were both working for Walmart. And after my daughter was born, the bills were so high that we had to file for bankruptcy. We had my wife left Walmart. She got her quote-unquote retirement profit sharing was $9,000. And we wrote out $9,000 in bills, and we still had to file for bankruptcy. It was that bad.
My. I feel, you know, as this country moves forward, you know, my dad grew up in the Depression where they had to shoot his pony because they didn't have any feed. And my father's dad lost his farm because he didn't have $3 for the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are pretty serious times, but I have...
That's where we're headed back to, Sam.
I have this feeling. Well, you know, I have this feeling that what's happening in our country with our debt and the poverty increasing and... this separation and everything that's going on, and we don't know what this administration is going to do as far as Iran or what the repercussions are going to be. I think that we're going to need people in Washington, D.C. that understand the times and the seasons, and we need to have programs in place to make sure we can help people who need it.
Yes, ma'am.
We need programs. I mean, if I were president, I would give each state $1 billion to be put into a trust fund run not by corporations, but by individuals, doctors, social workers, teachers, and those would be funds that would be used for people.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you the one thing you cannot do, and it's not built this country. We are at the rebuilding stage.
I agree.
And you cannot rebuild anything. Look at New Orleans. You cannot rebuild anything without workers, and that is one thing that Bob has preached relentlessly on the show is the rights of the workers. And if we don't raise the minimum wage, if we don't have some kind of national health care, then there's no foreseeable future that it's ever going to work out.
You know, I agree with you, which is why we have to stop the bleeding monetarily and family-wise of this ridiculous war. We have to stop that. And we turn toward home, and we take care of the needs of our people.
Absolutely. Chris,
we have to do that.
Chris, thank you very much.
Yes, Bob, as always, well, I appreciate
thank you,
you,
Chris.
And Ms. Simpson, I wish you all the very best in the world.
That's very kind of you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And see you, Chris. And let's take one more phone call, if you don't mind, Sam.
Sure.
Steady is calling from out west. Hey, Steady, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob, and hi, Sam. Thanks for sharing time here at the
Oh,
North.
Thank you for calling.
Just a quick note to Bob. Thanks for doing Camp Democracy. It was a thrill to meet you, and Bruce, too. I hope you feel better real soon. And all the listeners who said and commented on that, I want to give shout out to a number of people who I met while there that are actually on your endorsement page, Code Pink, and I think it was PDA that actually sponsored the event.
Oh, yeah.
And DFA, and Deborah Bowen for Secretary of State here in California has huge DFA endorsements, as well as a long list of councilmen and state assembly persons. She's been involved with this, but it's great to hear a candidate calling into the horn. And I had one question for you regarding about a year ago when Katrina came across Florida, did it not? Did I have that right?
Katrina didn't come. There were four storms the year before. Katrina didn't really bother us too much. A little bit of North Florida, but not really where I live.
The 10th District, that's on the eastern part in the Gulf?
No, the 10th District is right in the middle. On the Gulf, it's the Tampa, kind of St. Petersburg area. Tampa, but the St. Pete side.
Okay, well, then I was just going to move on from there in regards to your endorsements and not having the heavy list, but your website looks great and running for Congress. Have you ever run for office before? If not, how do you feel you're doing with 6 weeks to go?
That's really a great question. No, I've never run for office in my life. I was a single parent for a long, long time. I worked at a really wonderful financial firm for 17 years, been in radio and TV for 30. And I had a beautiful grandson that literally I had to take my grandson in, and I gave him up for adoption due to some very difficult family things that a lot of people go through. And once I did that, I was doing a lot of reading, and I was watching this president, and I got to tell you, I just got angry. I just got angry. And I thought, what can I do? What can I do? The country's going down the tubes. They're lying every day. What can I do? And I've been in TV and radio. I've managed crews. I've, you know, interviewed thousands of economists and financial advisors in my work. I know there's a lot of very smart people out there that we should listen to. That people actually that know their stuff, you know, not just because they're a lawyer or a politician, you know. So it was last January that I was watching the State of the Union, and something came over me. And I said, I've got to run for Congress because I've got to tell that president to repent. That's how it started.
You're self-empowered.
Well, yeah, or divinely inspired, or both. So you said how it's going. It's been real interesting because I don't have a lot of money, but I've always believed that money was part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
And we have a lot of heart and a lot of vision, and we're raising a little bit of money, and we're getting a little bit more press. We had to fight to get press. But when we get out and talk to people, people sometimes weep because we're saying things that they think in their heart, but they haven't been able to say it out loud.
I hear that.
You know what I mean?
I do, and thanks to the horn. I mean, they are actually giving people like me and Sarge and Chris and yourself a platform, and it's just great to be a part of it. I want to thank you for coming here. Maybe you can get a few more calls in if I cut mine short. Thanks.
Okay,
hey,
thanks,
thank
Steady.
Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome, and run like, I don't know, just run.
I tell you what, keep me in your prayers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Steady. Sam, you're inspiring people. You are genuinely inspiring people, because one of the things we've talked about on this program at some length is the fact that it is time for people of conscience and people of will to stop relying on others to go out and get the job done for them.
It's really true. Something came over me. And I thought, I looked at what the qualifications were. You know what the qualifications are for running for Congress? You have to be 25 years old,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? And you have to have lived in the state for 7 years. And I thought, well, I'm qualified, you know? Plus, you know, I've lived a life.
Yeah.
And I've been subject to a lot of, personal pain.
And I think those of us who are touched with grief, we can help other people who are grieving. And we got a lot of hurting people in this country, and we need to help them. That's another thing that makes me so angry, Bob. This country has become so punitive.
Yes. Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I describe it on this program as, you know, we have a punishment fetish in this nation.
Yes, we do. We got kids in jail who made a mistake. They had a joint or something.
Well, there's a dead boy in Panama City, beaten to death.
Right.
In front of a camera with a member of the healthcare profession watching, Sam.
Right. What an outrage. You know what that's trickle down, that is trickle down torture theory.
Yeah.
Say the president gets away with it and they think they can get away.
Well, you know, we had the Abu Ghraib thing broke.
Yeah.
And everybody said, you know, I can't believe, you know, on the one hand, there was Rush Limbaugh saying, well, you know, it's nothing more than a fraternity prank. And on the other hand, you had very well-meaning Americans saying, I can't believe this is happening, that Americans are doing this. Well, have a look at the American prison system, Sam, and you'll understand where Abu Ghraib came from. Because Lindy England and the Charles Grainer and the rest of those people that did the Abu Ghraib stuff, allegedly freelancing, I don't believe that for a minute.
No, it came from the top.
Yeah, sure it did. But those people came from a prison unit in Maryland, and their everyday job was working at a correctional facility in Western Maryland, where the kind of things they did are probably de rigueur.
You know, that's a whole nother area of reform that can only happen if we start changing the vision from a culture of death to a culture of life.
Yeah, a real culture of life.
A real culture of life.
Now, by culture of life, you're not talking about trying to keep Terry Schiavo alive.
Exactly.
And
that was horrible.
That's not a culture of life.
A culture
of life is a culture that gives a young black man a greater chance of going to college than to prison, which is the exact opposite of how it is now.
A culture of life makes sure that kids are in Head Start. A culture of life says to those pregnant women who, you know, are forcing them to choose to give or abort. A culture of life says, you know what, we're going to create a system where we're going to help you give birth to your baby and have it adopted. That's
yeah.
The culture of life.
Or
of life, make sure your seniors get medicine.
Yeah.
A culture of life is make sure your kids get a decent education and not these stupid tests. I mean,
yes.
You know, let's talk about a culture of life for a second. I mean, here we've got the military and all the schools, even the fashion magazines are coming out with military garb.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. And we've got, it's got to come from the bottom up. But you know what? We got to inspire people. We got to let people know you don't have to be afraid. We got to let people know there's hope. We got to let people know there's a different way. Torture's not the way.
No.
You know,
suspending 700 years worth of Anglo-American jurisprudence because you got a brown guy in Guantanamo that you don't know what to do with, and therefore, you know, you got to get rid of habeas corpus because he could otherwise use the legal system to ask why the heck he's, you know, why he was picked up when he was herding goats in Afghanistan.
And today I heard on CNN, I heard Wolf Blitzer say, well, the alleged was that they got millions of dollars in Pakistan or Afghanistan to, you know, catch things. But that's not alleged. The United States dropped flyers out of their planes in Arabic telling these Pashtun tribes to, okay, we're going to give you money, turn in the Taliban, you're going to be able to buy lands and your kids to school. If they were angry at their neighbor, they turned them in.
Yeah.
55 to 60% of those people languishing in Guantanamo Bay are not guilty of anything.
And some of them are children, Sam.
That's right. I've read that.
You know, this is a broken. I mean, I don't mean to be overly negative, but there's a lot. This is a broken nation right now.
I'm with you.
I have from time to time referred to this once great nation. This is the nation that lifted itself up by its bootstraps out of the Depression, that fought off fascism. My father's a Second World War veteran. He's 81 years old, and he has looked at me on occasions and said, you know, if I knew that this was what we were fighting for in 1943.
Yes.
It wouldn't have been worth it.
You're absolutely right. The 70-year-olds and the 80-year-olds, they know what's up. And you're absolutely right. Earlier, you alluded to, you know, the fast culture, you know, the fast food and the billboards and the sexuality and the satiation. You know, pornography is like a number one industry in this country.
Sure.
So when you've got, you know, when you've, it's not what people are selling, it's what we're buying. You know, Fugazi, I think, said that in a record. But, you know, we've got to start from the ground up.
to give people hope in something that's something other than, you know, torture, something other than, you know, militaries in schools, something other than an eternal global war on terror, and something other than devastating our forests by selling out the interests. Something other than...
Well, you know, this nation is leader hungry.
Yes, it is.
I'll be honest, Sam, you're talking like a leader.
Oh.
You know, we need this level of inspiration.
Thank you. That's so kind.
We've gone in the space of 43 years, the span of my life. We have gone from ask not for what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, and ich bin ein Berliner.
Yes.
We have gone from that to bring him on. And this is a national failing.
It is a national failing, and you know what? I take partial. I take responsibility.
So do I.
My part in that. I mean, I take, and that's maybe why it's driving me so hard. Because I mean, here I was a single parent all those years with a very, very troubled child. I've been through the mill.
You've been to the mountain.
I know where the cracks are.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I also take responsibility for allowing this nation to be this. And as a somebody who knows Jesus, I got to tell you, that drives me even more, because I don't like these people saying they're doing it in His name. That's really making me very angry.
Really, a lousy thing to do to Him when you get right down to it.
Oh, no.
It's your refusal to stand silent. It is your determination to stand up that I think changes your candidacy and changes your approach to a trip to Washington, D.C. in the name of and on behalf of the people, not just of your own district, but of the United States of America.
It really is. It's for the people, you know. It's for this nation. Yes, it's for District 10. Yes, it's for Pinellas. We have veterans here. We have seniors here. We have, you know, schools here. We have hurricanes here. We have, you know, pets here.
Crack
we have,
and meth. And
we have all kinds of things. We got too many kids in jail here. You know, we got trouble. Everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got trouble. We have to have systems in place to help people in trouble. And I believe we can turn the page. I really do. And I really believe even if we begin to turn the page, there's going to be repercussions for our debt, repercussions for our foreign policy. And that's why we even need to get to know our neighbor even better. And we need to begin to create programs, much like I used the story of Joseph, who was with Pharaoh years ago, and he brought in all this food into the storehouse because there was going to be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. We got to prepare.
Yeah.
We got to prepare. For the hurting people out there, and we got to rebuild our country, and we got to rebuild our culture of life, and I believe we can do it. Because there's people like you, and there's people like me, and there's people like us that believe this. People that phoned in tonight, they wouldn't have phoned in if they weren't concerned, if they weren't awake, if they weren't alive.
There are thousands of committed people who listen to this program and the other programs on the Head On Radio Network.
Fantastic.
Who are committed, who are willing to get out and affect change. And it's about breaking the silence, Sam. It's about self-determination such as you engaged in. Let me ask you, I can't imagine how your opponent could possibly stand up against you in a debate. Any chance of that happening?
I have been trying. I wrote a letter, made a number of phone calls, sent a number of emails. Others have. It's not been accepted. Debates I've been to, I don't really call them debates, I call them dialogues. Mm-hmm. Ones I've been to, he hasn't shown up. I think it's the incumbent's way. I think it's a disservice to democracy because we, at the time in a season in America right now, I don't even care. I mean, I said to him one time, I said, I'm not your adversary. I said, I'm concerned about America. Let's get together and let's let the people come and let's talk. Let's talk. People want answers. People want to know what you're thinking. But haven't got it. Haven't got it. And I can't make somebody do what they don't want to do.
No.
You know?
No. But I tell you what, if a willingness to work and a determination to see a better America were the benchmark, there would be no sense in holding the election because you would already be there. Unfortunately, we do have to hold the election. And Sam, let me ask you, given the way that we vote now, are you concerned with election fraud?
You know, I got to tell you, someone said to me that they're paying so little attention to me that they're not even going to want to steal my vote.
I got kind of a
well,
kick
out. Well, that's damning with faint praise, isn't it?
I got kind of a kick out of that. I'm going to do absentee ballot myself. And we're encouraging everybody to do an absentee ballot. But I got to tell you, you know what? I'm personally not worried. Because I got on the ballot with one extra vote.
Right.
And there's a movement afoot, and I've got to trust in something larger than a voting machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
So I'm not going to worry about it. I figure I made it this far.
Sam, I have a feeling you and I could probably go for the rest of the show, but you've got stuff you've got to do, I'm sure.
You're so kind.
It's a joy. We call this conversation radio. It's not talk
it's
radio.
Oh, I love radio. You're wonderful. Wow. Thanks.
And you know, you're welcome here anytime, before the election, after the election, because if, God forbid, you do not prevail on November the 7th, I want to know now that Sam Simpson's going to be out there and continuing to work.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. We're going to fight. We're going to fight for social justice. We're going to fight what's right. We're going to make big noises. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning because we have to. But I think even if I don't win, I'm believing that Congress is going to be taken back. I have to believe that. I have to believe that.
Yes. And I pray God.
But I think I'm going to win.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because I want that progressive voice. I mean, I've said for a long time that my ambition in getting the House of Representatives back in Democratic hands is to be 1,000 times harder on Democrats than I have ever been on this program to a Republican.
Yes. Yes. If we're yes, I mean, let's get off our, you know.
Yeah.
And do it.
Right.
You know,
and I mean, I want
to do it.
I want to build a fire that is white hot, Sam.
Yes.
And I want to hold congressional Democrats' feet to it.
We have to.
And when they start to squealing, I want to turn them loose and say, "Run now and go work."
Every single person in this listening to your radio station and needs to absolutely know exactly what their congressperson is doing. They need to call them. They need to write them. They need to read the bills. They need to know and know and know and know. Create a group. You know, there's so much information. You got to have like specialists. You know, in different areas. But it's up to us because it's about the people. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, you know, we the people, the consent of the governed, that's us. It's not the consent of the oil and gas cartel. It's the consent of the people. And there are people all over the world that feel just like us. I don't buy for a second that we're going to be in a global war on terror for the rest of our lives. I don't buy it. We're going to fight terrorism, yes.
We'll stop the ugly, crazy people, and there are ugly, crazy people here, and there are ugly, crazy people 16,000 miles away.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are, and there always will be.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn how to fight them better, and we're going to protect our own shores.
But we're going to end this battle between taste great and less filling.
Yes. That's funny.
I come up with one every now and then, Sam.
You got me.
Well, that's what this is. I mean, if you sat down, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Mullah Omar, and Osama bin Laden.
You know, Osama bin Laden, we used him as a CIA agent.
Yeah.
His name was Tim Olson or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going around the country raising money, and then we armed him to fight Russia for us in Afghanistan, and then the president, you know, forgot about him. You know, if you go to FBI.gov right now, and you go to the Osama bin Laden Most Wanted poster. Do you know there's nothing on there about 911?
No, he's wanted for other stuff,
yeah,
but not 9/11.
And I heard, I read where someone called the FBI, and they said they couldn't find any solid evidence linking Osama bin Laden to 911. Very
well, they don't even, well, look, at there's not, and you know, any good prosecutor, as the old saying goes, Sam, any good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich.
Wow.
The federal government has not sought an indictment of Osama bin Laden for September 11th.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And that is it's a very low standard of proof.
Wow.
It's an entirely one-sided presentation, and nobody, not one federal prosecutor in the entire United States has even deigned to think about indicting Osama bin Laden.
As long as, you know, this administration creates an enemy, you know, I mean, if they can create the enemy, then they can gather their sources, you know, they can gather their cadre to, like, okay, hate this. Hate this. Well, I'm going to
fear that.
You know, yeah. I'm going to say no. Let's love. Let's love this. You know, let's change our tune just a little bit. Let's stop pouring fire on this huge nuclear weapon. You know, let's stop
poking the crazy people with sticks.
Exactly. Let's stop. This is insanity. It's madness. Besides, we're losing our civil liberty. I mean, it's just all madness. If it's not reasonable, if it's not rational, if it's not logical, then it's unreasonable, irrational, and illogical.
And therefore madness.
And then it could be considered madness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sam, I, you know what? Would you call back sometime,
and we'll just talk
some more. You inspire me. You have inspired the entire chat room full of people over at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. They're just absolutely thrilled with you. And it's that hunger that I keep talking about that America has. You know, people yearn to hear a voice like yours.
That is so kind.
Because we're not hearing it now.
Well, you know, I got prepared. I guess I got broken and crushed, and I guess I'm gonna get used. I have to give the glory to somebody else higher than me.
Fair enough.
Because it's not me. It's just times and seasons, and I happen to be pretty angry.
Yeah.
You know the movie Network?
Mad as hell, not going to take it anymore?
Amen.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, I know. And, you know, you are fooling with the primal forces of nature.
That's exactly right.
So, keep an eye over your shoulder while you're at it, would you please?
Well, you know what? This is another thing. You know, if we're not willing to lay our lives down for something, what's the point of living?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at what they did for us to help us have freedom. I mean, your dad, my dad, you know. I mean, look at the long line of history of people who gave their lives.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't give it so that George Bush could tell somebody that half drowning someone isn't torture.
Oh my God, isn't that awful? That just devastates me.
You know, the thing that brought it home for me, we've got a listener who has a website called AlasBabylon.com. And for a time there, he had a YouTube clip up that was subsequently taken down, I guess, it wasn't fair use or whatever. But from a Robin Williams movie called Jacob the Liar. And it shows him being waterboarded by the Nazis.
Oh, my God.
You know, by the way, that is where we got the idea from. We didn't come up with it on our own. The Nazis loved waterboarding.
The idea that can be a policy that the president calls clarifying.
Oh, we've been clarified.
We need some moral ground. We need some moral ground. You don't have to believe in God to know that lying is a problem.
I know atheists who understand that waterboarding is torture.
Exactly. I mean, whatever your moral center is, you know, it's not this administration. We need a different
one. Yeah, and the thing is, if we don't take the House back. With you as part of that process here in 2006, I'm beginning to wonder what we can expect for 2008.
Well,
this may be the last one.
It might be. I've thought about that. It might be, and that's why we got to get to know our neighbor. We got to take care of each other, and we got to keep the hope, and we got to keep each other. We got to keep telling the truth to each other because we're in this fight, and eventually we're going to win. Eventually, we're going to win. I mean, these people aren't going to really get away with anything when you really think about it.
No, and I don't think they plan on it. They just want to be able to steal enough money to make themselves comfortable perpetually. You know, sort of set up a kingship, and if they can destroy the middle class and create a two-class society here in America, and wait for the revolution.
Well, let me give you a little vision of hope here.
Okay.
What we're going to do? What we're going to do is the whole world is going to watch a new Congress come in this fall. And this Congress is going to impeach this president and impeach this vice president or do the 25th Amendment or whatever it takes, and we're going to let the world know that we don't put up with it. And we're going to remove them, and we're going to start a new way. Now think about that. Put and let the whole world see it, that he was wrong and we don't agree and we are the people and this is America.
That's an America worth fighting for,
let's,
Sam.
But that's exactly right. Let's ponder that. Let's believe that.
Let's do.
Okay.
All right. And let's talk again soon.
Bless you.
And you as well. Thank you so much, Sam.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Sam Simpson, candidate for Congress in Florida's 10th Congressional District. SamSimpsonForCongress.com. That's Sam with two M's. S-A-M-M Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N, for Congress. www.thebobsanchez.com. Go there. It is an inspiring website. She is an inspiring woman. I don't know how to put it in better terms than to simply say that she is serving as an example. Do you have to? And let's ask a fair question. Do you have to win the seat in order to achieve your objectives? Are you empowered enough to next time through? How many more Sam Simpsons will there be? How many more Tony Tripianos will there be? This is a groundswell that we are growing and that you can help grow in this country. Conservatism, so-called, has had its day. It has run its race, and it has collapsed before it got to the finish line, and it has damn near destroyed us, and it has, in fact, destroyed hundreds of thousands of human lives. We have seen that conservatism is morally bankrupt and ethically dead. Are we, then, as progressives, willing to stand up, pick up the torch, and start fixing stuff? Because this is hard work coming. You know, this is that Churchillian stuff. This is the blood, sweat, toil, and tears part of the program. Are you willing to perform that toil? Are you willing to bleed that blood? Are you willing to sweat the sweat that will be required to make this nation great again? And that's a question you will answer on November 7th. That's a question you will answer by getting in your car and going to vote, and getting back in your car and going and finding someone and saying, have you voted? If they haven't, offer them a ride. Take them to the polls. Before November 7th, speak up. In the store, in the mall, at the gas pump, talk to your neighbor. Talk about saving America. Because right now our government is in the hands of people, and you know it as well as I do, who are damned well hell-bent on destroying it. Yes. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good friend David from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good evening, Bob. I caught the tail end of what you were saying. I pretty much agree with that, and I would like to add that people have to realize that a lot of the people that you know, they're going to fall to the wayside, and they're not going to be able to go the distance with you, or you may not be able to go the distance, and you may lose that strength, but you just have to, more so it's strength in numbers, and you just have to, don't make it into some like fantasy land. Don't try to make some thinking into your like fantasy land, like everyone's going to conquer everything and everything's going to be all sunshine.
It does not happen in a day.
I know, it has more to do with, growing up real fast if you're real young and facing some of your worst.
Well, you know, I would ask, the question I would ask, David, of a 20-year-old is, are you willing to work to save America until the day you die?
You know, the point we're at right now, I think that this kind of summarizes the direction of this country. I saw that to be on the Fortune... This is insane. But to be in Fortune magazine's top 50, you have to make over $300 million. Just let that sink in for a minute. You have to make $100 million to be on a
right.
wealthy list. It's insane.
But the reason I put my query the way I did, David, is the people who built this nation that
right.
we revere for their greatness, flawed individuals though they were, I take my shoes off, my feet are made out of clay too. But these are, Tom Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls. You know what? They always are. But if there is something bigger than us, David, if the hope of an America that stands as a beacon to the entire world is to have any validity, these are lifetime commitments.
You know, I was watching. You bring up an interesting point, and this kind of segues into what I was thinking of, almost to the opposite of that. I was watching 60 Minutes, and they had that. I don't know if you saw that segment on Condi Rice, but she was talking about her trying times in Birmingham and how she was a true believer. And I couldn't help but think that all of the true believers of the conservative movement who speak the loudest, they're not sacrificing anything for their cause, and they're allowing themselves, or they're deluding themselves, to believe that they're sacrificing something other than their time and energy, which is and I think to be a true believer in something positive and something that you know is right, not just something completely irrational, which is, she sounded completely irrational, and for some reason
Condi Rice did.
Yeah, when she was talking about, you know, but I could understand her because she was explaining where she grew up, and I was like, there's so much of a couch trip here that you just can't even begin to. And sometimes, you know, it's like a caged animal. That caged animal can turn bad, or if it's in a loving environment, it can turn into a great pet and sidekick, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And the problem with Condi Rice is she went the opposite. She got cold real, real fast. And I think Birmingham had a lot to do with it, and I don't blame her for that. But I do think that when you do put your cause on the line and you shield yourself, I'll give you the analogy. I think the Bush administration is like Michael Jackson, and we're all just living in Neverland. All of us. We're like the gardeners, the landscapers, the whatever.
Yeah.
We're just the regular type folks. We're working on the property, basically. And I think to think that they don't realize that they're living in a bubble is probably one of the most dangerous times that we are currently living. And I couldn't help but think, when I was listening to Condi Rice, I was like, you know, she should just go to Sony Classical and make contemporary classical schlock albums and just market herself. And
George Bush should be commissioner of baseball. Yeah,
right. She could be an entertainer, and she'd be good at that. Because I was, and I couldn't help but, you know, watch, and I was like, this is so bizarre. You know, it reminds me of Mengele playing Rachmaninoff to the patients when they were showing her. Well, not to that extreme, but almost to that level, where he would play that while he would torture victims, where she had her classical comrades, and they were playing some classical piece, whether it was Brahms or something, and they would be laughing and just enjoying themselves. And I'm like, to me, it's like you're sitting there with someone that you could be making an impact on, and you're actually just so detached from everything that around you in the world that you're just going to sit there and pieces and laugh it up. And you know, it just makes you realize that you everybody listening, you can't turn that side off. You don't want to do that, because you never know who's
these
the last
people,
hope.
But these people are so morally bereft, David. They can giggle while cities burn.
A lot of them, I would say, a lot of them are, but I would say some are just for the ride, if you know what I'm saying. Just like some who will jump on.
But the people who are just along for the ride are in a way more evil than the people who are actively doing it.
To an extent, I think some are complicit, and I think some are just. For example, one of my friends is in it for the ride. Is in it for the ride, but that's only because she could get a job in radio. That's the only job they offer. She's put out application after application, and finally she had to go to a conservative radio station. And believe it or not, she does one of the most grueling, not appealing jobs at all. She has to make the advertising for all the conservative media. What will the conservative consumer be into? What will they want to buy for the culture? And that's the kind of the times we live in, where a lot of progressive people and a lot of people of our mindset are in those positions. And you know, they're silent. It's almost like I won't say. Maybe in Roman times, maybe in Caesar and Pompey times, maybe in Adolf Hitler and the Nazi period.
Stalin.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they just have to. They're up against the gun of what they have to do to have a job that makes them survive. And I think a lot of people are choosing the wrong way to go about it. And those are the people that I think we need to keep in mind, because we're not going to win this all on our own. We're going to have to take some of the people who are on the right side, who know what's wrong, you know, basically some of the insiders, and pull them to the side and be like, look, I know this is killing you, and you know this is killing our country, and if you can tell when you talk to some of these people. And it's just a question of just continuing to believe in what you believe in, and continuing to just go down that long and weary road, and hopefully we come up with some kind of victory later on.
Well, you know, I know is the struggle is on top of us, as is the top of the hour, David.
Oh.
We've got to roll.
All right, Bob.
All right, you take it easy. Have a great night. And the news is on the way. We'll be back thereafter. You're invited to take part in this conversation. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. I'm Bob. And, you know, if you've never called the program before, we're very nice to first-time callers. Really, we are. We've never lost a one.
Let's call the union.
This is the Quality News Network. The Army has extended the combat tours for about 4,000 soldiers an extra month and a half from a set departure date of early January to late February. This is the second time combat tours for soldiers have been extended beyond the 12-month period that was promised. The Los Angeles Times reports that the Army Chief of Staff has withheld a 2008 budget plan. He says that's because troop levels in Iraq and elsewhere can't be maintained without billions in additional funding. In Washington today, several retired military officers criticized Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as being incompetent and called for him to be replaced. They accused him of sending U.S. troops without the proper equipment and hiding facts from the public. Also in Washington today, the Bush administration distributed nearly $400 million in security grants to cities across the country. New York City received the most at $79.5 million. Homeland Security head Michael Chertoff said the grants were divvied up based only on risk. On Capitol Hill, debate continued on legislation that outlines how terror suspects can be treated. The full Senate could vote on the legislation by Friday when the fall recess begins. A new CNN poll shows that terrorism and the war in Iraq could be the deciding factors for who voters choose in the November elections. 49% of respondents said terrorism would be extremely important. 46% said the same about the Iraq war. In Kandahar, Afghanistan, the head of the Ministry of Women's Affairs was gunned down outside her house. She was a strong advocate of women's rights and education in the southern province, an area Taliban insurgents are attacking more frequently. During a speech today, visiting Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai called on Pakistan to shut down schools that preach extremist behavior to young children. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf admitted last week that there has been little action taken so far against the schools and those who lead them. In Basra today, British troops reportedly killed a top al-Qaeda leader who had escaped from a U.S. prison in Afghanistan last year. In San Diego today, three Camp Pendleton Marines were told they'll face court-martial on murder charges in connection with the death of an Iraqi man. You're listening to Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Scientists say Earth could be the warmest now than in the last million years, particularly in the part of the Pacific Ocean that gives birth to El Niño weather patterns. And though those patterns will not necessarily be more frequent, they say the effects will be stronger. Two Hewlett-Packard executives have been subpoenaed in the media leak scandal. They'll testify Thursday before the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee. Sales of existing homes have fallen for the fifth month in a row. The National Association of Realtors reports that the rate dropped by half a percentage point in August. Also last month, the median price for an existing home fell to $225,000. China's largest bank, the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, will introduce its initial public offering next month. It'll be the biggest IPO in history. The head of the Nissan-Renault company will meet with the CEO of General Motors in Paris this week. They'll reportedly continue talks on a possible three-way alliance. Gas prices nationwide have fallen nearly 24 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks. The Lundberg survey reports the average price for a gallon of unleaded gas is $2.42. Light sweet crude settled at $61.45 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 68 points at 11,576. NASDAQ up 30, the S&P 500 up 12 points. And there's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Now, you guys being incredibly up on what's going on in the world, you know, you already know about the little bit of gutless kowtowing and suck-upping being done by Newsweek to the Bush administration, you know, doing for George Bush and Dick Cheney what Monica did for Bill. You know about this business of the cover of Newsweek, the October 2nd issue. Everywhere in the world, anyone who picks up Newsweek will see a photograph of a stern, battle-hardened Afghani, his head wrapped in a turban, a shawl around his shoulder, berobed, as it were, and a rocket-propelled grenade launcher on his shoulder. That's going to be in Europe, in Asia, Latin America. And the title on the cover is Losing Afghanistan. Losing Afghanistan. On the other hand, here in the United States, where never is heard a discouraging word, you get a picture of Annie Leibovitz with a bunch of kids. It says, "My life in pictures." Now, I'm not dissing Annie Leibovitz. Brilliant photographer, but why is it that the American people are not entitled to know that we are, in fact, losing Afghanistan? I've read the article. If you read the article, you'll probably agree with me. It's nothing you didn't know. It's probably nothing that the French people don't know, or the British, or the Germans, the Italians, the Spanish. you know, everyone who is engaged with us in this coalition that joined us in Afghanistan, they know we're losing Afghanistan. They know we're losing Afghanistan because of the blunders. Blunders, okay? Outright screw-ups of the likes of Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush and Condi. Because that's what they are. They're screw-ups, all right? And they have screwed up Afghanistan. Now, so it's not going to come as a surprise to you, but let's put a face. Let's put a face on what it means to lose Afghanistan. Do you remember when Laura Bush flew over with a C-130 full of Maybelline and CoverGirl and Clinique and, you know, whatever, to purdy up the new free women of Afghanistan? I'm kidding about the cosmetics, but you know, you can all take your burkas off now. You're free, okay? Well, that's done, too. That's over. We're going to stop with that foolishness now. Let's talk for a minute about a woman by the name of Safia Hamajan. Safia Hamajan was one of those people. Yeah, I say was because she's dead. She's dead. Safia Hamajan was one of those women who took us at our words when we said, you know, we're going to free the whole country and we're going to make and we're going to give women a chance where you have not had a chance, where you have not had a chance for 1,000 years. We're going to give you a chance to take the burqa off and be something. Well, Safia Hamajan was an outspoken critic of the religious weirdos of the Taliban. And she's dead. Kandahar province, today, gunmen on a motorcycle drove by Safia Hamajan and blew her away. She was provincial director of the Afghan Ministry of Women's Affairs in Kandahar province. Lord God, this is what it means to lose Afghanistan. This is what it meant when Dear Leader pulled the troops out that were supposedly hunting for Osama and running the Taliban out of Afghanistan. When he pulled the special ops forces out and sent them to Iraq. Years ago now, he signed a death warrant for Safia Hamajan. Every last little thing that we do has a consequence, perhaps for us, for others, that we can't contemplate, that may not come to fruition for 20 years. It took 2.5, 3 years for George Bush's actions to have consequences for Safia Hamajan, who went about her country trying to tell women that it was okay to read. And that they didn't have to let men rape them. That they could throw off the bass-ackward, the hateful tribalism and stand up for themselves. That they could do that. But because George Bush found Iraq to be far more interesting, and because Dick Cheney or Donald Rumsfeld said that there weren't any really interesting targets in Afghanistan, and that Iraq would be so much more fun, we have broken our promise to Afghanistan. We have broken our promise to women. We have broken our promises. And my God, is there anything more sacred on earth than the promise that an adult makes to a child? We have broken our promise to the children of Afghanistan, and they will live in darkness. They will live in a perpetual night of religious and sectarian and tribal fears, superstitions, and hatreds because we broke our promise to them. broken promises. When you break a promise to a child, you break the heart of a child. But, you know, that's okay, because we don't care about Afghan children. We don't care about Afghan women. It was a convenient, pleasant photo op for Mrs. Bush. But that's all it was ever designed to be, you see. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good friend Steve Nicholas, calling from Jackson County, West Virginia. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it doing, Bob?
Going good. Yourself?
43 days of hecticness, I'll tell you that.
No doubt about it. A little bit of, not much time remaining before the election. How is your contest against Mr. Carmichael coming?
Well, I've been hearing good things, and I've been going door to door, and he initially agreed to a series of two debates, but there's a question of when those two debates are going to be.
Preferably November the 8th.
Yeah, and if we do get the debates on, I think that'll be the key of, that'll be the key event that decides it. And I mean, the way I see it, if he weren't worried about it, because I mean, he seemed all fine with the idea a few months ago, so maybe he's looked at things and realized that they're closer than he thinks they are. But I'd say it's one of these that's going to come down, the wire if I can go out, talk to enough people, because it seems like so far that there's quite a bit of discontent, because when you got somebody who's taken that seat for granted for a while.
Well, when you take a seat for granted, Steve, that means, by definition, you're taking people for granted.
Yeah, because I don't know how many times I've talked to people who, Democrats and Republicans, who said that I was the only person who ever came to ask for their vote. So I think that's going to, that's going to affect it a lot. Because, I mean, I've met people who vote I would normally never get. One woman who I met, 80-year-old Republican woman, had all kinds of Christian coalition stuff on her door, so I'm already on the street, and I'm kind of weighing whether or not I should even bother to knock on the door. And so I decide to knock on her door. And then when we get to talking, she looks at my name, and then she asks if I knew who, if I know an Orby Nicholas, and it turns out that was my grandpa. And when she lived in Richwood about 44 years ago, she was his neighbor, so... And it seems like I'm finding...
Well, good. I mean, there's always a way to connect.
It seems like I'm finding all these little things along the way, because I know that Carmichael is probably going to try to make reference to the fact that I'm originally from Nicholas County and not Jackson County, but a lot of people, when the big factory closed in Richwood in the 60s, moved to Ravenswood to work at Kaiser, so...
Sure.
And... a lot of people, I think, don't appreciate the fact that he has been the biggest apologist in the legislature for Don Blankenship.
Well, he is, yeah, he's in Don's, he's about as far into Don's pocket as you can get and not be doing anything obscene.
I mean, I've won the Sierra Club and the mine workers endorsement, so I'm getting I have the most endorsements, but it's a pretty broad path of their blade.
Well, that's something. The Sierra Club and the United Mine Workers. That tells me that you're speaking to a broad spectrum of the hopes and needs of people in your district.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing. It's like I don't want to perhaps over exaggerate the importance of it, but it's like the end of Schindler's List, where Schindler looks at all the things he has and says, I could have done more. I'll tell you this right now, 43 days from now, I do not want to say that.
Well, it's like, in the sporting analogy, don't leave anything on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be at that courthouse the night of November 7th, and I will not rest unless I know that I've done every single thing that I could have to get things done. And if the debate keeps stalling, I'm going to try to put as much pressure on to get it started. And if he still refuses, and if the, because really we have everything in place almost. We have the Ravenswood Chamber of Commerce agreed to sponsor. We have the moderators. We have the venue just waiting for a date that's open. All we need is that date. So if they don't allow me to debate by myself, if he fails, then I'll book a venue myself to do it to make sure that my views get out there. So, I mean, if he wants to play these games,
well, he's gonna
with the wrong person.
Well, I think you can probably outspeak him, and you can probably outthink him. So he knows that it is not going to be in his favor to debate you. There's no doubt about that. And the fact that you can point out that he is a creature solely and completely of Don Blankenship, that's gonna cause him to shy away as well. You know, but I applaud your conviction. That you're not gonna leave anything left undone. That you're gonna bust your rear end all the way to November the 7th, Steve. What about the website? How's that going these days?
It's been going kind of slow. I mean, I've been busy. My webmaster has been kind of busy, but I mean, everything. There's not a lot of new stuff, but everything that was there before is still up.
Okay. Now you've got a military background, correct?
Yeah. 6 years, National Guard, rank of sergeant, activated for 14 months.
Well, where do you stand now as we look at the so-called war on terror? We found out today that it turns out that our war against the people of Iraq has made us less safe instead of more. What about moms and dads who happen to be in the Guard in West Virginia and get called up and shipped over to Iraq? What's your thinking on that right now?
Well, as someone who went over, like I told people, I was opposed to the war before it started because I felt like deterrence works. I figured that if we went over there to try to take the weapons out of Hussein's hands, that he would have went out and taken as many with him. Because I thought he had them, but I thought he would have used them if we tried to take them away. So, like I told people, I was opposed to the war before I went, and I came home really opposed to the war. And now there's all this stuff with North Korea and Iran, so even if we needed to do something, our hands are tied.
We're effectively crippled right now militarily, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean that.
I mean, I don't say that with any pride. I don't say that with any joy, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either, because Lord knows I've spent 6 years, and you don't want to see stuff like that happen. Because, I mean,
but other West Virginia families will be broken up. Other West Virginia families will be separated. Some will be touched by the most profound sort of grief to know that they have lost a loved one, a mama, a daddy, a grandma, a grandpa, because, you know, there are older folks serving in Iraq, too. As someone with a political goal, would you feel comfortable raising the issue in the House of Delegates in the state of West Virginia?
Well, I mean, I don't know because it's only a 60-day schedule, and I got a lot of things I need to get through there. So
sure,
I'd have to play that one by ear. But I mean, I've got the power of the pen, and I'll certainly do what I can to write the legislators and in the federal level, do what I can to make sure that Bush doesn't get another rubber stamp and John Racey, make sure he gets rid of the one that he's got now, and do what I can to try to help Callahan. So
yeah, Mike's a great guy, and he's running a heck of a campaign, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we both come from the same hometown, so he actually graduated high school with my platoon sergeant when we were over there. So I mean, while I didn't really know him personally until after I got back. I mean, I knew.
Now, are you in the 2nd Congressional District as a constituent?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you will be punching Mike's name in the voting booth when you're punching yours as well.
Yep, because I mean we need Mike, and as the slogan says, I like Mike because Capito has done veterans dirty. There was a vote in October 2003 for a $1,500 bonus for those who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kosovo. Tie vote 213-213. Her vote would have given us the bonus. She voted against it. 68% of West Virginians approved a bonus of $600 the next year by way of a constitutional amendment.
And, of course, Alan Mollahan voted in favor of it. Nick Joe Rahalan voted in favor of it.
Yeah, there was not one Democrat who voted against it, not one. And every Republican vote that was needed voted for it. Because, I mean, I've heard people say that Capito votes 80% of the time with Bush and 90% with the latest last term. And that's true as far as it goes, but she's voted with them 100% of the time when they need that vote. And here's the thing for the Unmitigated Gall Award. A few weeks after I found out about the vote, while I'm 6 miles away from Nazaria, I'm calling my parents on the phone. And they say that I got a letter from Shelley Moore Capito talking about what all she was doing for the veterans. Well, she was doing so much for the veterans, and where was my $1,500? So,
probably a little bit disgusted, weren't you?
Oh, let's just say that it took every ounce just to keep me from punching that phone through the wall because I was just so furious. But I mean, I knew people needed to use the phone too, and I knew if I did that, then I'd probably never get to use the phone again. So.
I understand, but it's still so. You know, you've got the street cred, as we might say, to go in and to go into the legislature, the House of Delegates of the state of West Virginia, and talk about real veterans issues and real family issues.
Yeah, I mean, I've Joe DeLong, who currently chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee, he is been one of the most consistent supporters of my campaign, and I'll certainly do what I can to help him out in the legislature.
Well, it sounds like you want to go and you want to actually work and do the necessary work that is required. That's not your fellow Jackson Countyans are not getting that kind of support out of Mr. Carmichael. There's no doubt about that. So, I think it's you are a kind of change whose time has come. Steve, and if folks want to, let's see, that's Steve4WV.
@yahoo.com.
@yahoo.com.
Steve, don't forget the 4 is a number,
yes.
Not F-O-R.
Yeah, Steve, the numeral 4WV @yahoo.com, and anybody who wants to can contact you, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, great. Steve, I thank you very much, and please keep us updated. I'll be hoping for good news come the morning of November the 8th, all right?
Well, hopefully I'll be calling you in a couple of weeks to let you know if the debate's been settled. If not, I encourage your listeners to write letters to the editor and do what they can to put the pressure on.
Yes, but yeah, our West Virginia listeners, to pressure Harold Carmichael, right? First name's Harold?
Mitch.
Mitch, sorry. Mitch Carmichael. Actually show up and debate you and talk about the issues that mean something to West Virginia families.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see, he agreed to two of them, so all I'm saying is, when are the two going to be?
Yeah, you've agreed. Now let's set them up. Exactly. Steve Nicholas, thank you so very kindly.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye now. And shall we take a break, Agnes? No, go straight on. Our good friend Luke joins us from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, it's been an interesting weekend, I tell you.
To say the least. And apparently, knowing media watchdog that you are, Luke, did you catch Mr. Olbermann's little tongue-lashing here a few minutes ago?
Oh, it was a good one, too.
Well, I'll have to check that out as soon as the program's over.
He essentially said, you know, I'll use different terminology, but he essentially said Bill Clinton said the emperor has no clothes. You know, he said finally somebody said it. You know, Mr. Bush, you didn't do anything for 8 months. So it's that little thing that the media's kind of been, you know, we'll put little clues out to it, but nobody will say it.
Right.
So, but I tell you the one that's got me that some people have reported. But I tell you the one that I thought should have been the number one story was the comma comment.
Okay, flesh that out some.
The one where he was in this interview, the interview with Wolf Blitzer, where he asked him about all the people who died and got killed. He said, "About in history, that'll be just a comma."
Yeah, I remember. I got to cut that out. We still haven't run that, and maybe it's stale now. But yeah, the deaths. I mean, but look, this is the son of the woman who said that her mind was too beautiful to contemplate Americans who'd given their life in service to their country. So you know, the apple falleth not far from the tree, Luke.
And, of course, it's a rotten apple at the time.
Yeah, it's full of worms.
The story I liked the day was the one Media Matters put out where they did Nexus Lexus search and showed all the people that Fox has had on from the Bush administration, and nobody's bothered to ask them about that eight-month sabbatical they took.
Yeah, not once.
Uh-uh.
Now, this is
a long list, I mean, you know, showing who all's been there and all that, and they went through it, and they said nobody has asked any of them any questions on that 8 months.
Yeah, not once.
No. But the one I got was I Sunday morning, I saw, I guess, on The Span and a couple other things. I'd seen, you know, this was coming up on Fox. So I said, okay, I'll break down and watch it because I said, this could be good. You know what I mean? The way they were describing it, I thought, okay, you know, I'll go and take a good bit of Digel and go in there and try to watch it.
Yeah.
And afterwards, they went there to their little round table. And, you know, most of it was what I expected. The one that got to me, though, that I sent you the story, was the one about Mara Liasson.
Right. I'm looking at that right now.
And she's sitting there describing this thing, and I'm sitting there going, you've never watched the channel you're on, have you?
No.
I said, you don't know the names O'Reilly, Hannity, Gibson, North, Rivera. Have you? You've never heard these names, have you? Because she's essentially going, well, some people in the media might have said a few things about him. And I'm sitting there going, lady, you're sitting ground zero. And, it's, you know, it's one of those things. Like I say, when she said it, I kind of had to, when I got done, I had to back the tape up and listen to it again to make sure I heard her right. You know, and it's sort of like, lady, you don't know where you are, do you?
Well, this is what she said. That is the subject of probably the most intensely polarized debate in America right now. Was the media as tough on Clinton or as tough on Bush as they were on Clinton? Did the Bush administration get a pass? I mean, that is a huge debate. I don't think you can talk about the media as a whole. I think there are plenty of aspects of the media that have blamed President Bush every step of the way for every misstep, and certainly the country has come to a kind of consensus about the war in Iraq. It's a kind of a split one, but the war in Iraq is very unpopular. I think the president has over time come in for a lot of criticism, whether, you know, presidents always feel they're mistreated by the press worse than any other president, so it's hard to, you know. Oh, God.
I mean, I'm just sitting there going, are they holding up the cue cards for? I'm just really wondering.
Yeah, we, you know, I mean,
it sounds like a real nice prepared speech.
Yeah, we're Fox. We've been really mean to George Bush. I mean, the coverage we gave to him choking on that pretzel, my God, I mean, I'm surprised he was able to survive it.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. On Sunday morning, I'll watch Howard Kurtz's show just to see what he doesn't cover, mostly. And they showed one scene, and they were sitting there showing when Ahmadinejad was talking to the UN, showing what Fox was running underneath. Axis of Evil.
Yeah.
The Axis of Evil leader speaks to the UN. Something along those lines. And
well,
like,
did you ever see John Stewart's examination of the use of the question mark by Fox?
Oh, God, yes. The one I liked today was where somebody said, you know, this thing with Chavez comparing Bush to the devil could get him in trouble. The devil's going to be pissed.
Well, you know, but once again, you know, we talked about this toward the end of the week last week, Luke. You know, they've forgotten that, you know, Flush Flemball called Tom Daschle, you know, El Diablo. Yeah. Played Devil with a Blue Dress. And then, lo and behold, as if you know, on cue from a script, here's Jerry Falwell over the weekend calling Hillary Lucifer.
Well, and the thing was, did you see all the different PR pieces this week? I was, like, amazed. Okay, first I see we have Baba Wawa visiting, doing the Bill O'Reilly story.
Oh, I know.
Which I'm sitting there going, now, here's a real good piece of fiction. Then we have, was it Bush on the thing with Wolf, with the U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
And then we have
Crackhead
Condi.
Journalist.
Then we have Condi on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, standing there working out. That's all. I saw the footage of her, like, walking on her treadmill or something, and I just, yeah. My eyes! And it didn't see the rest. I apologize.
And the thing was, then at the end of it, from what I understand, at the end of it, they had a story that was really tough on this stuff, but then you're sitting there going, one end of it you have the puff piece, the other end you have news. Like, this is just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, they had to soften it up a little bit.
We control the horizontal. We control the vertical, you know. Like I said,
please do not adjust your set.
The man there in the dark suit going for your submission. You know, it's like, Rod, get us out of here. But you know what I mean? It's sometimes with this stuff, you're just, oh, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, say, you know, I wish I had a room with like a big old 8x8 timber. Just go over and just beat my head on it for a few minutes, you know. Clear it all out and go, come on, there's got to be something different here. Because, you know, this can't be real reality. You know, it's like, God, you know, like I say, you're some. What was one of the stories, I think I said, welcome to Bizarro World, you know. God, it's like, you know, where are you people, you know? God.
Well, they don't live in the same universe as us.
I don't know.
They don't.
I mean, it intersects every you know, couple of months just for the fun of it.
Well, you know, this business of sitting down and interviewing... because, you know, all these people, you know, you talk about Barbara Walters with O'Reilly, Newsweek, what?
Well, that thing with Newsweek, that's like I say, you're just wondering, you know, it's like, guys, why? I mean, it wasn't like you were showing somebody being decapitated.
Well, they pressed
it. You're just showing a guy dressed essentially about like Yasser Arafat and saying, this is the way the world's going to go.
Well, he was asked to name traditionalist Democrats, and O'Reilly named Joe Lieberman, John Kennedy, and Robert F. Kennedy, and the guy interviewing him, Newsweek General Editor Jonathan Darman, says, okay, so that's two deceased Democrats and one who lost his party's primary, and Falafel Man...
The party.
Yeah, Falafel Man then says, well, okay, maybe Evan Bayh, maybe Barack Obama, but I could be wrong about Obama because he's cagey.
Yeah, I saw that.
No. Well, KG, you know.
Yeah.
We know what KG means.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like I've told you before, and like I say, we've got, was it 5 weeks, I guess, till the election. And like I say, I don't want to see, if I turn on a show now and I see what I call a Casablanca Democrat or a Casablanca Republican.
I'm shocked. Shocked,
usual,
I tell you.
The usual suspects.
Right.
I mean, if I see Joe Biden, if I see Chris Dodd, I'm going to change the channel. If I see John McCain, if I see, you know, now I'll accept that you got to have Reid and you got to have Pelosi and you got to have Frist and you may have to have Denny Hastert just because they're in the leadership and they have a reason to be on.
Right.
Any of these others, I want to see somebody different. Like I say, I want to see David Obey. I want to see Jim McDermott. I want to see Henry Waxman. I want to see some people we don't see who say very nice things we want to hear. You know, like I say, I'm at the point now when I see some of these people pop up on the screen, it's like, well, you lost me for 10 minutes. I'll go look something else. You know, I'll channel surf and I'll be back to y'all when y'all go to commercial.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's enough dinos on TV.
Oh, God.
You know, and they're...
And rhinos, too.
Well,
you know,
sure.
What I mean?
Yeah. But this line, let me see if I can find the story right quick.
Oh, yeah, if I see all Inspector Space again. Oh, good.
Well, yeah, Surrender Boy. But no, this this line there's in the story about here it is, the story about the leaked memo and national intelligence estimate. You know, John Negroponte says, well, you know, that's only a fraction of the judgments.
Well, I heard somebody say tonight that, you know,
well, did you know, 1/1 is a fraction.
Well, but you know what? So I heard somebody say tonight that watch next week, said you'll have Republicans out with their part of the NIE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, John, but there's a quote from John McCain in this story, which is what I was getting at.
Oh, okay.
He says, we need to prevail in Iraq. And if we fail, then our problems will be much more complicated. Our problems are already complicated, you know, John, because we've already failed. It's a failure.
Only, only thing we're over there now is we are targets. That is it.
Well, we're targets, and we are helping to create a few more really, really pissed off Muslim people who would maybe someday like to get revenge. And I don't say, you know,
and they're the worst it's going to get.
Yeah, and they don't want revenge because they're Muslims. They want revenge because their families have been slaughtered, you see.
And they want revenge because we're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like waving a red flag in front of the bull. Believe it or not, he's some reason going to get ticked. You know, it's like if the flag wasn't there, he might not get ticked.
But see, when McCain says stuff like we need to prevail in Iraq, what, how, Luke, what kind of twisted logic is he engaging in to create some kind of a definition of what it means to prevail? Well, how do we prevail? How?
You know, it's like we've always said about, we've said, you know, about victory. What does victory mean? Genocide? We have to kill everybody? I mean, that's the only way I can see have victory over there is like, say,
forced relocations, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, scorched earth, that's about the only way we're going to win. If you want to say we're out to win, I mean, that's about the only way it's going to happen. I mean, it's to the point now, but that is about the only way I could see what you could qualify as victory. Because anybody you leave over there is already ticked at us. You know, I mean, there's some that aren't, but I mean, for the most part, and a lot of them may not say it openly, but, you know, it's one of those things, if we turn our back, I wouldn't turn my back.
No, I wouldn't be going down any dark alleys in Baghdad or Najaf or Fallujah or Ramadi anytime
soon.
Did you
see the, I think I sent it to you, the one from the editor and publisher, talk about what some people in the business think that MSNBC may go to all documentaries?
Yeah, right.
And then move maybe Overman and Matthews over to CNBC. And make MSNBC essentially their dot blocks just 24/7.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, because A&E is not running all the Hitler documentaries anymore. Oh God, it's.
You know, A&E and the History Channel must have had their copyright run out. So somebody else had to take it over for a little while.
No, and MSNBC is just right for that. Boy, I hope they don't do that because I don't get CNBC, and I do cherish.
Well, it's one of those things,
being,
you know,
able to watch.
I think I told this last week. I said, you know, they're into such this stuff now. You know, all this other stuff. It's like, well, fine. Why don't, like, at midnight? Why don't they rerun the Donahue shows?
Oh, they wouldn't dare.
I know. But, you know, I saw something the other day where it was, who was it talking? And they were having an interview, and somebody was talking, I guess it's Matthews. And I'm just sitting there going, until you start running the Donahue shows, I don't want to hear it out of you. You know, it's with him, between his Hillary obsession and his new plan to rewrite history, where, of course, he opposed George Bush every inch of the way.
Right.
It's like saying, yeah, and how many moons are there in the sky where you are, Chris?
What color is the, yeah.
What color is the sky?
On
what
your planet.
The water where you do, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Which way does it run, uphill, downhill? We're kind of curious.
Because it ain't where we are.
So this ain't even reality. Yeah. I mean, we're not even in a bizarro world here. We're in Oz.
Yeah, it's strictly malice in Blunderland now.
Oh, I tell you what. It's just one of those things where some of these things you're just, I think they just try to strain your brain as far as they can. They figure you'll snap back and you won't know which way to turn.
Well, and after a while it turns to mush and you just sit there and, yes, I Bob is a very happy man, you know, and I am too. Oh, I know.
When I saw tonight the big story of the night coming in is, my golly, they're reopening the Superdome.
Oh, I know.
Which I mean, I'm glad for the people in New Orleans. I hope that helps them. But it's like, say, gang, you know, this is really not news. Now, if you want to carry this on the football, on the ESPN, that's fine. We'll, you know, do one thing on news. I'm sure we'll probably see it for the next 2-3 days.
Yeah, well, you know, they're reopening the Superdome, but there are still people living in trailers. We really get an idea of where the priorities lie.
Oh, we still got the people. Was it? We still got the people. Are the people still living up at the refinery?
Yeah, behind the barbed wire fences. Yes. In the FEMA trailers? Absolutely.
So they can't come down and vote.
Yeah, and they can't put their trailer behind a car and drive it to Washington and tell George what a good job he's doing.
And it's sort of like, guys, you've got these trailers. Why don't we move these people back into New Orleans so they can be home? You know, why do we have to have them up here in this one little old place, out of the way, of course, out of the way, where we don't have to, you know, don't have to see them, talk to them, know they're out there. It's like, you know, But you'll enjoy the Oberman thing tonight. He makes, they even show a few clips from 1984.
Oh, from?
The movie.
Not the year.
No.
Okay.
Making some references to it. So, it's what I'll say. So you'll enjoy that. I said, I think tonight, John Stewart's guest is like Pat Buchanan. So I'm not worried about the last 15 minutes, but the first 15 minutes ought to be good.
I think so. I think
so. You know,
so.
When he's in there, he'll do his little review, I'm sure of it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. When 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm gonna go and have a look at it. Luke, take care, all right? Look forward to hearing from you soon. Later. Bye now. All right. Let's see. Are we due for a break, Agnes, or just cruise on through?
Break.
Oh, okay. Agnes says break. I'd like a break. A few minutes left if you want to get your last licks in, get the last little bee out from under your bonnet, burr out from under your saddle. You know, a lot of this stuff builds up over the weekend. 877-443-2366 is the number. And I'm the host, and I'm Bob. And this is The Horn, America's liberal voice.
Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball.
but when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
The Internet. Your geo identity is not something that you just dump something on.
And you happen to be tuned in to one of the hottest, coolest tubes out there, and that is the Head On Radio Network. Let's go to the phones. We're rejoined by our good friend Steady. Hey, Steady, welcome to the program. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call again. And
no thanks needed.
Yeah, I wanted to just keep separate, you know, my issues and then Sam Simpson's. Shouts out to Florida and the 10th District and the DFA and PDA and Code Pink out there that are supporting her. I met a lot of those people at Camp Democracy, but I just wanted to let the listeners know that tomorrow I'm actually going back into Ventura, and I'm going into the a government center. And I'm going to pull my papers for a write-in campaign. And then I'm going to go to the post office box and get my signatures and a few people that I do know who will, you know, sign my nomination papers or I think that's what they're called. That's how new I am at this. But I just wanted to let you know that I do have a certain amount of pressure that I put on myself to actually do this. And I'm going to confess a little bit of anxiety going back into the county with everything that's hanging over my head and you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I've rattled some cages, ruffled some feathers, and pissed some people off.
Yeah.
And I continue to do so. And when I called here asking, you know, for a little bit of consensus from the Head-On chat room and the network and everyone there at the Horn about running this campaign, I'm doing it.
We said go.
Yeah, tomorrow's the day that I'm going to go get those papers now. We got 6 weeks before the election, and a lot can happen. I plugged into VFP, which is Veterans for Peace, IVAW, which is Iraq Veterans Against the War, which I met at Camp Democracy, and these guys are rowdy. They're wild. They're pissed. They're trying to organize for a 4th of July 2007, no permits required. Everybody just show up. You know, these are the kids, you know, they're the kids coming back from Iraq. And just one more note, closing out, reminder, I'm going to go do this tomorrow, and I'll update you when I finish, that these guys, when they come home, if you have an Iraq veteran in your area, and, you know, you just see him in town, or you know he's a vet, and you greet him, they want everyone to know, and I got this from the panel at Camp Democracy, that please don't thank them for their service over there. They want no part of being thanked for what's going on over there.
Yeah.
Welcome them home.
Just say welcome home. Right.
Welcome home. So thanks to you, Bob, for being there. Bruce, I hope you feel a lot better. And I'll have some good news, hopefully, by Wednesday afternoon, maybe as early as Tuesday night. Who knows how long it takes to get my signatures.
Right, and we know you will share that when that time comes.
I certainly will.
All right, thanks, Steady.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye. I admire this self-actualization and self-empowerment. I admire the willingness of people living their everyday extraordinary lives to be willing to step into the maelstrom and try, as they have wits and light to do it, to save this nation. I call that heroism. I call what Sam Simpson is doing heroism. I call what Steady is doing heroism. I call what Mike Callahan is doing heroism. I call what Tony Truppiano is doing heroism. I call it heroism what our good friend Brian Moore is doing in Florida, running independently. I call that heroism. I call it heroism when we stand up and we speak to people who are making monumental mistakes, and we speak to them as sovereigns, as people in control of their own destinies, their own lives, who want to do the same for others. I call that heroism. You do not have to hear bullets whistling past you or fire them at other people to be a hero in this republic. Heroism is standing up and shining a light on the failures of this administration to meet even the most basic needs of people whose lives have been turned upside down by something that we should have been prepared for in the form of a storm. A storm. A piece of weather. A bad piece of weather, admittedly. But something that human beings in the 21st century should have been able to prepare for and to prepare against. And the people who point out those failures are heroes. And the people who stand up in their workplaces and sign a union card and against all the hateful opposition that they get from management still bear up under it and encourage others to stand together with them. I call those people heroes. We are a nation with many, many thousands of heroes. And heroism lies as a dormant seed in many of us. And we can wake, we can awaken and nurture that seed. And we can be heroes. Because we can affect change and we can stand shoulder to shoulder with people from our past generations who, when called upon, did the same thing. And do it for much the same reason. Because the future of America is at stake, and the future of America is more important than its present. So that's our program tonight. I hope you will join us tomorrow for an entire broadcast day here on the Horn. Dr. Bill O'Brien begins at noon, followed by Mark Levine, followed by Guy James, Bruce Birch, and me. Those three shows also simulcast by our good friend Shelby LaPrey at radiopower.org. We are grateful for what she does to help spread the message of the Horn. And we are glad to be partnered with her in this streaming enterprise. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes. It was engineered by John Fox, who is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives of all the programs on the Horn. It's thanks to Ben that you can go and check out previous editions of any of the show. And we don't, he doesn't charge you for it. It's strictly a volunteer donation basis there. We have extremely dedicated, really cool moderators at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. Our friend Gene is a most excellent news editor at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And, of course, all of this happens because there are several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and they go out and they build the American dream, literally. And by supporting this network, they're helping to save that American dream for that most important future. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, sorry about that. If you're listening very closely. I always forget when the microphone is open. Not always, but forget when the microphone is open. I'm sitting here clearing my throat. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. A program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. And if, however you're joining us via Sirius Satellite Channel 145 or radiopower.org, or if it's tomorrow and you're joining us via WhiteRoseSociety.org, welcome aboard, plus the radio stations that carry the program. Thanks for being here. We're at 800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. My senior correspondent, Chris, out in Minnesota, sent me the story, a couple of weeks ago. And it went into the stack, and we didn't get to it, but now there's a follow-up, so I guess there's time to get to it. The original story comes from, is it Bear, Vermont, B-A-R-R-E? Do you pronounce that, Kathy? You have the college education, not I.